House will come to order. Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Chairman, privilege of the floor.
You may.
My pleasure to welcome Senator John Barrasso back to the Wyoming Legislature. As you know, Senator Barrasso served in the legislature from 2002 until 2006 before being sworn into the United States Senate in 2007. He's often my co-sponsor on bills on the other side and was an amazing co-sponsor back in those days. He's currently serving on the U.S. Energy Natural Resources Committee, the Environmental and Public Works Committee, the Indian Affairs Committee, and the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. He also serves as Chairman of the Senate Republican Policy Committee and Chairman of the Senate Western Caucus. Please help me in welcoming home United States Senator John Barrasso.
Thanks, Tom.
Thank you. Mr. Speaker, thank you. I'm here to fix Gerald Gay's leg. Somebody has to do it. It is, it's wonderful to be back here in the legislature, which, you know, Mike and Cynthia and I say were the best training grounds ever, for serving, in Washington, D.C. And it's a privilege to be, back here to see so many of you. We just had a lunch with the 20 young, students who are part of the WAMI program to try to encourage them to study hard and then come back to Wyoming to practice. I wanted to congratulate them, but also congratulate you for making that investment, because we know there's going to be a huge manpower shortage, doctor-wise and nurse-wise, in the next decade. And the more we can do to help encourage young people from Wyoming to get educated and then come back here to live and practice and raise their families, I think the better it's going to be for health care in the state. The other thing that strikes me about the time I spend here is just that the decisions that we make here, what a major impact they have on people all around the state. And then in Washington, seeing what impact decisions made there have for people in Wyoming. And I think decisions in Washington ought to be helping and complementing and supporting things that a state tries to do for the people in terms of the quality of life. What we see, however, is a lot of decisions being made in Washington these days, whether it's through executive orders or regulations, are actually making it harder for us here in Wyoming. You know, the great history of this state is the impact of public land on the people of Wyoming, and our success has always been that we are a multiple-use state. We use the land for recreation, for minerals, for agriculture, you name it, hunting, fishing, everything that the energy component of it, and we do it in a very responsible way. So I want to make sure that that continues and that regulations in Washington don't make it harder. There are a couple of areas that I'm specifically working on, and one is legislation, and I try to find bipartisan legislation, areas I can work with others, and it's to allow us to export natural gas from Wyoming and from the United States. 10 years ago, we were talking, Tom, about importing liquefied natural gas and building terminals in Houston to do it. Now, with the abundance of natural gas, we're trying to export it, and I'm pushing bipartisan legislation to allow us to export liquefied natural gas in an easier way. The process to get permits to do it now, it's almost insanely slow. And what we're trying to do is speed that up, and I have bipartisan support to do it, to send our product to Japan, to our NATO allies, to others. And you say, what does that impact have to do for Wyoming? You know better than ever in a budget session that for every 1 cent change in the price of natural gas, it's $2 million. Tom, we did that study when we were I was in minerals in the Senate and you were minerals in the House. $2 million for every 1 cent change in the price of natural gas. So I think it's very important for us to have more markets for the Wyoming product. I mean, the other issue is coal, and you're debating legislation about trying to allow us to export American coal from American terminals, and there are efforts by the president and his war on coal to block that. And he's doing it through executive orders or regulations, even discouraging people to make the kind of investments that we know are necessary. So those are the fights that are going on and will continue to go on, and I'll continue to engage in working closely with Mike and with Cynthia. Mr. Speaker, thanks so much for allowing me to be here. Wyoming continues to be, I think, the envy of the nation, the state that people wish they had a state like, where we're rated the best-run state in the country, whether we have Dave Friedenthal, Democrat governor, Matt Mead, Republican governor, either way, because we're all working for the best interest of the people of Wyoming, and we know what works. Low taxes, reasonable regulations, living within our means, balancing our budget every year. And so I just want to congratulate you, thank you, and say God bless you, God bless Wyoming, God bless the United States of America. Thanks for letting me be with you.
On behalf of the Wyoming Legislature, we wish you continued success in serving Wyoming in the United States Senate. Thank you once again for visiting us, Senator Barrasso.
Brothers and sisters, are there any privileges of the floor while we sort of collect ourselves after our short break there? Seeing none, hearing none, we're back on the budget bill. The next section for our consideration is Section 251, Chairman Harshman.
Okay, I have... Mr. Chairman, I have a section on page 61 of the cheat sheet, and on CapCon, is that what you have? I think we've completed 251, Board of Veterinary Medicine. Is that correct? Thank you. And we've completed 270, and we've done the Judicial Districts with Representative Nicholas. I think that brings us to CapCon. Ladies and gentlemen, that begins on page 61, and you can see all the projects out there. And once again, to look over to the far right-hand column of the cheat sheet, and I think the CapCon's easier to use the cheat sheet on. And you can see the JAC totals. In general fund, federal fund, you'll see some of those. Those are for some of our armories. And then other funds. And we'll talk about those. Many of that PR is private resources from our local communities. Okay, but I won't talk about each one of those individually because I have individual members who will take you through the language. I just want to go to the bottom of page 61, Mr. Chairman. And number one on your cheat sheet, JAC added footnote number one specifying that any unexpended, unobligated appropriations from the general fund budget reserve account and the capital construction project account upon completion of project shall be deposited in the capital building rehabilitation restoration. Now that's been in the budget the last couple cycles. So if we build a building somewhere in the state and there's extra state general fund money left over, it came in under budget, then we're going to take that money and instead of putting it into the general fund, we're going to put it in the capital restoration fund to try to just save a little bit for that project we know. So that's number one. Number two, this has to do with the labs over at the university, and you'll probably learn more about this as we go through it, but really number two and three are connected together. And it says, footnote number two directs A&I to work with the AG to ensure all construction contracts entered into by the Department for the Construction of Facilities Improvements, ownership of which is transferred to another agency of the state, upon completion shall contain a clause that allows A&I to assign all rights, privileges, causes of action, other claims of the agency of ownership upon transfer. And then related to that is number three below that, footnote three, directing the operation, management, ownership of any facility for which construction management program within the A&I, within A&I serves as a primary fiscal and contracting agent for construction which is to be owned by another state agency or institution shall be transferred no later than 60 days after the next regular meeting of the State Building Commission upon construction completion. So we have a lab, a brand new lab at the university, and it's had a power surge, it's pressurized, it expanded, nearly blew up, a lot of damage, and we'd never gone through this process of really transferring it from A&I to the university. And so you're going to see more of this in the CapCon budget as we go through, but we certainly want to prevent that in the future. We want to have clear lines of ownership. And so that's what these final two lines do. Now, with that, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to turn over the next. If you would all flip over to page 62 of your cheat sheet, and at the top is number four. And I'm going to turn, Representative, the good representative from Cheyenne is going to take you from 4 through 15 and the rest of the CapCom. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
We're on capital construction number 4, Representative Esquibel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is the community college section of the CapCom, and number 4, we're going to talk about that a little bit later in the Section 300s, but you see that's way over there on page 131, the major maintenance funding for state facilities. What we did is we looked at all the major maintenance issues that we have here in the state, whether it's a state building, a community college, university, also the military department. We have some major maintenance issues there with our armories. We wanted to look at a formula that would give us a opportunity to leverage these matching funds that we get from the federal government. Probably should do that in other areas of the budget too. Then we go on to number 5 there. That's $7 million special revenue and increased it to private funds. And that's was just something we had to correct in the budget. It was under the wrong code. So it should be private funds. So that actually matches up with part of the number 6, where we added $26 million, $11 million general fund, and $15 million private funds for the joint UW-LCC. That's Laramie County Community College Student Center. And then in number 7, reduced the amount of $1,946,355 general fund. And that's also increase in the private funds by the same amount. Number 8 is another correction in the funding code in the budget bill, just moving that over to private funds. JAC in number 9 added $2,730,000 to the Sheridan College for the Ag Culinary Center. And in number 10, added $1,043,070 general fund for the Central Wyoming Community College Riverton Student Center. In number 11, JAC added $4,250,000 general fund for the Northwest Community College Gillette Activity Center. And 12 added $1,247,000 private, or we, these next four, we are only authorizing the construction of these projects. These all have the private projects in there. They need legislative authorization to move forward and raising funds for those next four projects. And that's the Student Success Center at Western Wyoming Community College, and the purchase of some land over there at Casper College for Agriculture Equine Resource Center, and for the 13 and 14, those are both authorizations again, And if there's any questions, you can look on your budget bill. That's page 104. I probably forgot to mention that at the beginning. And that's probably a better way to follow it, especially on these CapCon ones. You're looking at the budget bill. Of course, we've had 25% enrollment growth. JAC just thought in its wisdom that it was best to spread out some of these general funds and get a lot of these projects going. Over the last 4 years, we've had about a 25% increase in enrollment growth at our community colleges. These are the incubators for moving kids up into the higher education as well as into our employment with all the businesses here in the state of Wyoming. And if there's any questions, I'll move the capital construction for community colleges.
Is there any further? Representative Yeagy.
Thank you. Little bit of explanation I wouldn't mind having on the Gillette Activity Center. We used to have the college in Sheridan, and then all of a sudden we started doing a little bit in Gillette with that. Could you give me a little bit of explanation how we got from Sheridan to now having a kind of a, I don't know if it's an offshoot or it's part of, what is the Gillette Activity Center for, you know, there's a fair chunk of money right there. What is it, $18 million? Help me understand the Gillette Community College and the Sheridan Community Colleges, or are they together?
Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just as members know, we have 7 community college districts in the state of Wyoming, and Gillette is part of that Northwest district. And they've certainly built their own campus called Gillette College. They've done a fantastic job, most of it with local resources, taxed themselves and donations, and actually serve a large student body. And I can get the numbers, but it's bigger than some of our other community colleges. I would say this is not unprecedented at all. I mean, last year this body approved a classroom building, in Douglas, that is part of Eastern Wyoming's college district, to provide outreach and education in the town of Douglas from Eastern. You're going to see there's a proposal in this budget. We did not allow it or adopt it, but was to build in Jackson a Central Wyoming College facility there to do that. The thing I think that's unique about Gillette is such a large population center. And it's just growing to meet the needs of our citizens there. And that's just a fact. There's a demand, and they're meeting the demand. Now, this specific request for Gillette College actually came in about 30% higher. And those next three on there would be number 9 in Sheridan, 10 in Gillette, or in Riverton, I should say, and 11 in Gillette. We funded about 21% of the amount, not a 50-50. Now, there's no science behind that. We tried to do as much as we could. When you get testimonies, some folks just want. Casper College first had an ask of $5 million. They came back and said, hey, we just want authorization. We've got a donor. We've got a thing to do. So there's dropped $5 million off the table, and we just gave them authorization to use all their funds. And so these things move around a little bit during our deliberations. And we tried to do the most we could. This was probably the most generous committee in many years to Community College CapCon. And we just realized how important it is to our state. And it's part of our really investment in our state with some of these one-time dollars.
Representative Esquivel. Representative Patton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thanks to the co-chair of the Appropriations Committee and explaining the relationship of Sheridan and Gillette, one of the most competitive combinations in the state when you get to the elementary and secondary education. But when you get to the community colleges, we're really proud of what has happened in Gillette and proud that we could be a part of it. And we consider it as an extension of the campus, from one campus in Sheridan and one campus in Gillette. And the one in Gillette is doing just exceptionally well. They have their growth rate has been very outstanding, and between the two of them, they've been the fastest growing community college system in the United States. So you've got to be proud of what is happening, and that is serving people, not cows, not fences, not horses. That's serving people, and it means quite a bit to the economic development for both of the combinations of Gillette and Sheridan. However, it's a little bit unsatisfactory to have 21% when the rest of them are getting 50%. So, but that's amendable, and we can look at that in the future.
Representative Reeder.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would just like to ask the good chairman, appropriations, on the amounts here that you have listed here for the different community college, is that based on like an architectural amount from, or how do those amounts, how do you come to those amounts? I guess is what I'd like to know. Thank you.
Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It probably varies per project. A lot of these have undergone level two, so they're at a pretty firm number, really. And we make our commitment to this, and this is just our commitment. And if it runs over, there'll be other funds, private resources that will have to pay for those kind of things. But what we budget is, that's going to be the amount when we leave here in March.
Representative Esquibel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd just refer you to the graph and chart that I sent out yesterday, the colored one, if you have questions about what's going on with enrollment growth at the colleges and why we think these investments are necessary at this point in time. And I'll turn it over to Representative Burkhart to move further down that page.
Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just as a reminder, we're on explanatory note 16, and we'll start there and finish these. Okay. The JC added $50,000 in general funds for a study to examine the state laboratory building specifications and added footnote number 5. And that's the laboratory here that DCI uses, and that's south of town. I think a number of us visited it. The same people that built the laboratory, the BSL-3 lab in Laramie, also built that one. There are some issues just to verify that it meets the requirements that it needs to meet, and that was the reason for the extra money in the study. 17, JC denied the governor's recommendation of $224,500 general funds for the construction of a practical skills outbuilding at the Law Enforcement Academy. Currently, they use buildings that are available within the town they're in. They use businesses, so they get some real-world experience, and we felt that maintaining that real-world experience was worthwhile, and an additional building wasn't needed, and if they did, they could probably buy some used mobile homes or something. Number 18, JC added $250,000 special funds for fire suppression efforts at the Carissa mine and told the department to refine its estimate of repairs and generate a report, and they're also able to go out and obtain other funding for that. I don't know if any of you have been up there, but they're slowly rebuilding a lot of that old gold mine that's in about the center of the state. And if you haven't, it's a real experience, and we felt it deserved to start protecting that investment. number 19, JC added $4 million, $3 million general fund, $1 million. Game and Fish Trust Fund, and footnote number 7 to an appropriation for the acquisition of the Laramie Technology Building, and this is for a forensics and I got to think of the term necrology lab for the Game and Fish Department. This is where they go and do ballistic analysis and that on dead animals to determine how they were poached and when and those things. And with the value of our wildlife, it's important that they do this. Currently, they're in a small area, about 2,100 square feet for the whole lab. So they were authorized that amount of money. And then of the sale proceeds, the seller must use $1.25 million to construct new office space for business recruitment to be located in the Cirrus Sky Business Park, $1.25 million to be deposited in the Wyoming Business Council. business ready communities account and $500,000 to be expended for remodeling upon approval from the governor. And this just keeps that money in the system, has some development in Laramie or the town across the mountain, to start kind of evening out some of this state development. Number 20, JC reduced $50,000 in general funds for Horse Creek elk fence and left $50,000. Number 21, JC reduced $200,000 general fund for ADA compliant comfort stations, outhouses, and left $200,000. And these are at some of the fish hatcheries around the state. And the logic for that was is most people visit the fish hatcheries maybe 3 months out of the year during tourist season. Number 22, JC reduced $1 million for the Wyoming Boys School classroom building and replaced it with $1 million in T1 funds, which are omnibus permanent land income funds. 23, JC reduced $500,000 for the Emerson Data Center, and this is for the electrical system going into the data center. That's where all of our heavy-duty servers and computer equipment will be located. And they gave, the Department of ETS gave us numerous options on what to do with that building. They've requested money for the most expensive option, so we reduced it somewhat and told them to look at the options again. 24, JC reduced $518,739 in general funds and increased the same amount in omnibus permanent land income funds for the fence detection system at the Wyoming State Penitentiary. And this is a perimeter detection system that goes around the state penitentiary and just changed the funding source on there. And with that on those notes 16 through 24, I'll stand for questions.
Are there any questions for Representative Burkhart on 16 through 24 of capital construction?
Mr. Chairman, no questions. I move that we close this section of the budget.
Are there any further comments on the capital construction section of the budget? Any further questions, comments on capital construction section of the budget? Question being called. All in favor of capital construction, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have carried it. Capital construction has passed committee of the whole. Representative Gasparic.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Privilege to floor.
You may.
This side of in the balcony, you know, I can't ever remember whether it's east, west, north, or south. But sitting there in front of my handsome husband are two people from Gillette who came down to visit us. Shane and Scott Durgan, thank you. Give them a big hand and welcome them.
Chairman Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to introduce a wonderful, retired, but she's too young, educator from Sheridan County, Mary Beth Evers. She's just driven down from Sheridan. So stand up, Mary Beth. You got to be a part of this process. Our little people in Sheridan County miss Evers.
Are there any more requests for privileges of the floor before we return to the budget? We are on page 62 of the cheat sheet, page 107 of the bill proper. The next section for our consideration is section 67, Representative Moniz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move section 67, University of Wyoming Capcom, page 62 on your cheat sheet. Page 107 on the budget bill. Mr. Chairman, the JAC reduced $1 million in general fund from the infrastructure long-range development plan, leaving $5 million. And then the JAC provided $4 million for classroom adaption. And With that footnote there, Mr. Chairman, I would ask for questions before we move on to footnote 2.
You've heard the question. Are there any comments? Question having been called, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, move on. Thank you. Mr. Chairman, to move on to footnote 2, the JAC added $500,000 in general fund for a level 2 planning for the Corbett Pool and $2 million in general fund as a set-aside for construction costs of the university pool, swimming, and diving facility. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I stand for questions on footnote 2.
Are there any further comments on footnote number 2? Representative Yagi.
Hope I'm not too late, but could you explain the $5 million that's going into the arena auditorium? What is that to be used for?
Mr. Chairman, that actually we haven't got there yet, but if that's the only question we got, we'll move on to footnote 3. Seeing no questions, Mr. Chairman, do you want to vote on footnote 2?
Representative Moniz, we had voted on the footnote, but we haven't voted on the section yet. So are we out of order, in order?
What we'll do is we'll just do them all, Mr. Chairman, and then we'll
okay,
go back.
Let's proceed then to footnote number 2.
Okay, footnote number 2, we have finished, Mr. Chairman. I'll move on to footnote number 3. The JAC moved $5 million in general fund for the arena auditorium model from the state aid operations program to capital construction to make this appropriation effective immediately. And to answer Representative Uinta County's question, this finishes off the arena renovation. They had a long-term plan to finish off that arena as I'm sure a number of you have visited with them over there. This finishes off their program, and they will start on this renovation with its appropriation as soon as the basketball season ends. They will start on this project, and that's what that $5 million is for. Would stand for any questions.
Representative Croker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A quick question on that $5 million, and I may be remembering wrong, but I thought we had finished funding it last year in the last budget. Is this something new that was unexpected that came up on top, or was this part of the original plan?
Representative Moniz.
This is part of the original plan, just moving forward.
Are there any further questions on Section 67?
There are no questions on 67. Mr. Chairman, I move to close 67 and call for the question.
Question being called. All in favor of Question 67, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Section 67 has passed Committee of the Whole. Next section for our consideration are the Section 300s.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Chairman Harshman.
We're members, and I think for these 300s, it's on page 63 of your cheat sheet, but I think it's easier to actually flip through the bill at this point for these, and that's on page 109. Where these start. So if you could turn to 109 in your budget bill. We're going to divide these up among the committee. I'll take the first four, I think, and then just recognize different members and go from there. The first one, section 300, is really the budget balance transfers, and paragraph B is the statutory reserve. That'll be $109 million. That's 5% of our general fund budget. 5% is $109 million. Last by name is $107. This year it's $109. Letter C is a payback to Water 1 that we initiated on the committee, $3 million. Letter D on line 20 is $38 million for two separate paybacks to Water 3. One was $20 million and another $18 that we had borrowed in previous biennium. We paid that back. Letter E on the last paragraph on page 109 is the $37.5 million in the Capital Building Rehabilitation Restoration Fund for this year. That's a number we're probably going to see for the next 5 years. as we move forward, flipping over to page 110. We've discovered there's all these statutory accounts, and that's going to be one of the things I think we'd like to study in the interim, if Management Council allows us to do that. But there are literally dozens of statutory trust funds. And a statutory trust fund, as you know, is 31 votes, and it's invested in the state agency pool at a very small return of 2% or so. Well, the Game and Fish has a $25 million statutory trust fund, and we thought about trying to build that up to try to build them some reserves, try to help them. Well, we found in our permanent land funds, and these are all active emission funds, and really, you know, from the Northwest Ordinance days, and we call it the Common School Permanent Land Fund, but there's other permanent funds that are designated to help, you know, help the state hospital, the training school, the miners' hospital, and there's one in there that talks about it's for fish hatcheries, and this is long before we were had a Game and Fish or any of that, but the money off this trust fund then flows to the Game and Fish and will add revenue to the Game and Fish side. So we thought, put that on the permanent side where it can draw 5, 6, 7, 8, 9% interest as opposed to 2%. So that's what that was, to try to start doing a little bit for that fund. We haven't really, frankly, done anything for the common school side since statehood on that fund. I mean, we worked hard to build the permanent mill trust fund. We really haven't done anything, really, to deposit and build this common land fund. Okay, so that's that $5 million. And then letter G talks about G, and then I sets up the school foundation reserve account. And we put $30 million from the SIPA. You can see that in Romanet 1. And then Romanet 2 is $70 million to put $100 million savings. And I'll just tell you why. If you'll take your pen right now and write 1314. And that's right there on that part of the bill on 110. For the 1314 biennium, we received $447 million in coal lease bonus. $447 in the last biennium, a record. Now you could write 1516, what we're going to have in this biennium. $418 million, a good amount. Now you can write 1718. We get $111 in 17, zero in 18. And this is what funds school CapCon. And our school CapCon is with major maintenance is just over $400 million a year. And so we're trying to figure out a way to start saving a little money during the good times because school CapCon's not going away. I mean, we have this massive investment around the state, and we all realize how fast the years go. We're going to continually recapitalize that. And so we're trying to set up a savings account to start moving to really bolster this common school and this education side. Okay, on 110, the letter H, the state facilities construction account. This is the money that folks were beating up on us. You say you took it from the Department of Health. Well, the governor's rec had put $60 million of SIPA for these state facilities. We all agree it's our obligation for our state facilities that have been with us since statehood, and they need work. And what we did is we took it from the Department of Health. It's not their money. It's going to be something that we're going to decide and appropriate in this room. And we set up a committee to get some of us involved in this so we have education on this in this body and can bring this forward. But it's much like the capital restoration we started 10 years ago with just a few million dollars. And look at all the legislators involved in capital restoration. We're going to have a good product. We're trying to emulate that process and start. This is a big chunk of money, $30 million. If we set $60 million in the Department of Health and say, this is what it costs. You know, you have referenced an A&I study, those kind of things, but there needs to be more work, and that it might be a significant amount of money, but that's the first 30. Okay, and on letter J at the bottom 110 is $19.1 million for the Fire A bill. That's the first year. It's actually about 15 now, the first year. The total's dropped with a couple amendments on that bill. We also say if any of these funds that aren't used will flow to the state facilities construction account for those state facilities, state hospital type facilities. Okay, on page 111, letter K, This is a PLF holding account. This talks about how we've set up the common school or the foundation program and the school CAPCON program work together. And if we have FMRs flowing and taxes flowing into school foundation, we have school CAPCON flowing from COLEs bonuses into that account. If the FMRs and our local taxes aren't enough to fully fund the foundation program, we can flow the CAPCON fund backwards, and we balance those two out, always leaving $100 million in the school foundation fund there. And that's something from the Hathaway days. We just set that number there to have a little reserve. And then anything other than the above the needed for school CAPCON will flow into the permanent land holding account. And so that talks about that on page 111. If you go over to section 301 on page 112,
Chairman Harshman.
Go ahead.
Representative Blickery has had, he's given us a wave off. Let's go ahead and proceed to 301.
He's next, actually. I think he's going to follow me up here. And next is 301 is borrowing authority. And generally we say we borrow from the pooled fund for the general fund if we run short of money. And the biggest chunk in the pooled fund is YDOT money, but you can see that on line 18. On that sense, borrow from pooled fund. Then you go down to the Hathaway Scholarship, section 302, line 28, borrow from the pooled fund. We haven't had to do that recently, but that ability is in there if we're gone and need to borrow from another fund. The next section are all carryover appropriations, and these are section 303, and I talked about several of these, and you had questions about them. We have a little carryover language on natural gas dropping that we'd allow $150 million. The governor could, if we had a tremendous drop in our budgets and our income, if natural gas prices dropped tremendously, we thought that was going to happen 4 years ago, and so we put this in here, allow the governor to do that when we were gone. Flipping over to page 114, this is the Deep Water Ports Initiative. This is a legislative initiative that we have continued to carry forward. And carry over the appropriation. The liquid natural gas exports, I talked to all these, were in the governor's budget. Disaster contingency has I think it's $315,000 a biennium, and we continue to roll that forward if it's not used. On page 115, special contingency as well, another kind of emergency fund for floods and fires. And then baseline scientific assessment on 115, carrying over to 116. Same thing. We want to get in and get the baseline data to help facilitate really our people and our mineral producers. Okay, more carryover data center recruitment. We'll probably have an amendment to change this from grants and also ask the words loans on line 16. You can see that. I believe there's about $10.5 million left in this fund. Okay, flipping over to page 118, another carryover is brucellosis. And again, we've tried to backfill that to an amount that we start with every budget. I think that's $500,000. I don't have that right. It is $500,000 on line 13. And just to protect ourselves against the brucellosis outbreak. Now, I think I am done with that. We're on employer-paid contributions for employee health insurance, and that begins on page 118. And I'd like to turn that over then. I think Representative Blickery, are you going to? He's ready to roll on those, and if not, I can certainly try to help. But that's on page 118. Actually, I'll just keep rolling with that because I need to do this one. This is the $15 million I talked about when we had a premium holiday. We're going to use that now for increased costs. The paperless office initiative, we're going to roll that forward, $750,000. We're continuing that effort. These are the new E-rate, which are telephone charges. So we're going to roll that forward as well. And that has gone to the school fund in the past, and we also have used it with ETS. Moving over to page 120, court technology. That's another carryover. It's a long-term project that will stretch several biennia. I would like to say on line 15 on page 120, this is the extraordinary 2012 fire season expenses. This really covers the federal bill that has not been billed to us yet. We're waiting for that bill, and I'm sure some of you folks in other committees are going to work on bills to talk about when that is null and void. So that's out there. This line 28, the Wyoming Honor Farm expansion plan and some demolition, this money is carried over for several biennia. Looks like something's going to happen perhaps this biennia, but we've left that and let it roll. The streamlining governed initiative on 121 continues, and again, we've allowed those appropriations to continue. Okay. I think on section 304, and I think that's where a representative from Campbell County starts over, on the bottom of 121 is where he is ready to roll. And he'll do the next ones, 304 and 305.
Thank you, Chairman Harshman. Representative Blickley, we are on page 121 of the bill itself, section 304.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Section 304 is just accounting language that defines, you know, how the accountants figure all these things that we've been doing here in section 303 and will be doing in section 305 and many more. And if you look on your stuff on page 121 and 122, you'll see, I mean, I can read it all to you, but I think all of you can read too. So I'm going to move into section 305, which explains employee benefits. And it's reoccurring language that's in each budget. And it just section A is the state's contribution to the state health, dental, and life insurance plans. For each qualifying executive, judicial, and legislative branch employee. Okay, section I in there just explains the period, December 2014 to 2013, and it'll be decided by their employees group insurance section of the department. And as you go through here, you have everyone, $784,000 per month for an employee electing single coverage. This is how much that's in the budget balance this year. You can go down there and see what each one is.
Representative Blickley, I'm reading the number $784, not $784,000.
Yeah, you're right. It would be a really great deal, though, if it was what I said, wouldn't it?
Please continue.
Thank you. So I'm not going to read any of those. I'm going to go to the next page where you have Section E, line 8, $975 per month for employees who elect family coverage. So that, you know, start and end of all that. And then right below that in B is appropriated $4,550,000 from the general fund of the state auditor for the period beginning July 1st and ending June 30th to be expended only for health insurance benefits for executive, legislative, and judicial branch agency retirees, including retirees of the university, and that stuff there, okay? So what this section does in 305 is talk about what the benefits will be for employees and retirees in this year, and if there's any questions at that point, I will have somebody else get up and help you because I'm not ready to answer very many of them.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Madam. Madam Minority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a question about part of the Chairman of Appropriations presentation. Are we going all the way through and then taking questions on the 300 section? Is that the plan? Or I can ask them now?
If I can field that question, we're going to go right through the 300s as a block. If
Mr. Chairman,
yes,
while I've got the mic, then I would just remind the body, this is a really bad time of day to be going through the most important part of the budget. I don't know about the rest of you, but this is when my brain shuts off right after I've had lunch. So I would encourage all of you to read this very carefully and come back to anybody on appropriations or anybody that you think might know the answers to any questions you have, because this is really the important stuff. And I just want to make sure everybody's awake enough to understand that, because I'm not, so.
Okay, Mr. Chairman. And
thank you, Representative Stone. I'd remind everybody that we are on page 124 of the bill itself, and the best information is on the bill itself at this point. I think I'd forsake the cheat sheet temporarily and stay with the bill. Chairman Harshman.
Mr. Chairman, and really, I think, you know, you try to think what will serve us best on this. Maybe it would be best if we started, okay, we're on 124, section 304, and maybe we just field questions now from 300 to 304 that the good minority floor leader suggested. If we want to do that, I'd stand for any questions in what we talked about or any of the other members. And then we can kind of get this behind us and then keep moving. Because it might be half hour, 45 minutes, and then it's tough. You forget what you...
Chairman Harshman, we've covered through 305 at
okay,
this
305.
Point. Do you care to call the question for 300 through 305 then? Representative Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just had a question on water development account 3. We're putting $38.6 million into that account from general fund, and at least from my experience, we don't have any dams or any water level 3 projects on the horizon. I was wondering if there's a certain reason that that number went in, or if the department asked for it, or where we came up with that.
Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That was, those were two borrows that we had. One was the budget reductions, was $16 million. We reduced some out of there. The other was Gillette Madison. And we took it in the year we didn't have much money and paid the first installment. So we paid those back.
Any more discussion on the 300s beginning at 300 through 305? Representative Throne.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Going back to both the Water Development 3 and the creation of this new school reserve account, what was the logic of using general fund money as opposed to perhaps LSRA money?
Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Really, LSRA is general fund money, and we had the governor left us $227 million on the table. And I don't think anybody in this room would advocate starting brand new programs to go on in the future for $227 million. So we, as I mentioned the body, this biennium we're in good shape with coal lease bonus, $418 million. And we got enough to fully fund CapCon. It's going to drop to $111 million. And there is one coal sale coming, I think, next fall. But judging on the last two coal sales, I mean, it was zero. And so that's why we use it. I mean, you're right, though. It's the first time since I've been in the legislature that we've had to actually take general fund money. And, you know, if coal lease bonus goes away, which is about 20% of that whole education side budget, and if you all of a sudden take 20% of the budget out, we're going to have to get it from general fund. I mean, I don't know if we can raise enough taxes to pick up another $400 million of biennium. It won't be in mill levies. I don't know what it'd be. I mean, those would be other discussions. But we have this extra general fund. We thought we'd start setting it aside there, this biennium.
Representative Zwanitzer.
Thanks. One more, Mr. Chairman. And it's on the SIPA accounts. Because last year, I remember there was a big rallying cry that we'd got these monies off capital gains, and we were creating a new account called the SIPA that we were going to be using for strategic projects. And I thought it was, and correct my memory if I'm wrong, but it was going to be a long-term account where we found initiatives and things that we couldn't find money. And from what I'm reading, we just drained the $90 million into various accounts, and the SIPA will be no more from this point forward. Was that the intention that was brought last year, or did we have a change in policy on our vision for SIPA?
Mr. Majority Whip.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to respond to that real quick, the SIPA was set up because we had, remember, we were having some discussions last year because we thought we were going to get some fairly significant capital gains, but we hadn't received them yet. And there was an argument about whether we profile those gains before we receive them or how we treat those. And the SIPA was kind of the middle ground that we recognized, okay, we're likely going to get those capital gains, so rather than profile them before we receive them, we'll set up the SIPA, and it was a $90 million account, essentially, and said that first $90 million, once we realize them, when we realize them, they'll flow into that account, and then we will appropriate out of that account. Then we'll make the decision how to spend it once it's actually in our hands. And that was the sort of discussion and the negotiation last time around. The whole impetus behind that, however, was the fact that we knew that we had a rebalancing of the accounts and that we were going to see extraordinary capital gains that are not typical, are not recurring. And so that's really what the SIPA was an answer to last time around.
Madam Minority Leader.
Mr. Chairman, I don't want to argue with the good majority whip, but that was a partially incomplete explanation. Last year we did have extraordinary capital gains. However, we get earnings off the Permanent Mineral Trust Fund every year. And I guess my question, to turn this into a question, is, and we will hit the spending policy amount, the 5%, this year, most likely. What is the rationale for not continuing the SIPA to capture that amount? There's this misperception out there and misconception that the capital gains last year were one-time money. A portion of them from the rebalancing was one-time money. But those are regular earnings of the Permanent Mineral Trust Fund. And they happen every year. And I'll have a chart for all of you later on to show you that.
Mr. Majority Whip.
Mr. Chairman, they certainly do happen every year, but you don't see the $300 million in unanticipated capital gains that we saw last year. It was the scope and the amount of those capital gains that were extraordinary and that we were planning for last year. And so we could, and of course you've all seen what the stock market has done the first few months of this year, so we could go ahead and profile spending off of gains that, at least up to this point in the year, are losses. But at least the JAC to this point has found that that's probably not the wisest way to go.
Madam Minority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I know we have a lot going on, but this is really important for the body to understand. Actually, we will achieve, most likely, nearly all the capital gains to the amount that went in the SIPA last year, because the state treasurer already has $125 million in deferred capital gains. And actually, what happened to the majority of that extra capital gains from last year was a $100 million spillover into the Permanent Mineral Trust Fund. That's where those capital gains went that were probably over the top due to the rebalancing. The SIPA amount was part of the regular earnings of the Permanent Mineral Trust Fund, which we are supposed to get every year, and by Constitution are supposed to go into the general fund.
Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. There's really two issues that the good representative from Cheyenne is speaking about. The one she spoke about were the capital gains that we will, as I quote, most likely get. Well, we do not profile capital gains in the Craig estimate, just like we do not profile capital losses. So when we lost the portfolio, lost $1 billion in 2009, we did not profile that. we smoothed it out and carried it on. And our former treasurer, it's called the Meyer Rule now. And so we don't profile capital gains or capital losses. I don't think any of us do that. None of us bet on the come. And when we were meeting, and I think, Craig, it's not just your Appropriations Committee. That is state government policy. It's been very sound and, I think, very important. So if we get capital gains that exceed the Craig estimate, then we'll have a chance to look at those. They will eventually, if we decide not to spend them, they'll tip to the LSRA. Last year, we knew we were going to have this gigantic amount because of the one-time rebalancing of the portfolio. So we set up the SIPA account to intercept some of those. That's an issue about funds flowing through the general fund. But then this issue got mixed in about a $100 million spillover in the permanent mill trust fund. That has really nothing to do with this issue. We've set up the permanent mill trust fund like the Harvard Trust. We did this probably 14 years ago where we have a reserve account. It's 5% of the 5-year rolling average, 75% of the 5-year rolling average. When that fills up, we actually tip an amount into the corpus, and it's called inflation proofing. And we do not want to mess with that. We want to continue that for the long haul and maintain discipline when you have these tremendously good years. We want to inflation-proof the corpus. We had that. This is part of the policy that's been in this body since probably 1998, when the Constitution was changed to allow us to invest in equities and when a spending policy amount was actually adopted. And so that's where that. There's two separate issues going on there. But, you know, I would say this in regards to the SIPA. It's another way to spend more money. All of us are elected to come down, and we love all of us have projects we'd spend money on. I think we got to be really careful, though, because when you start saying, well, we're going to most likely get these gains and we're going to already start getting ready to spend them and create this anticipation, where does it all go? I mean, where is it just going to grow government here in Cheyenne? We're just going to grow government. And what we've done in the past is say it's been the policy of this state, not just this body, but the executive, if we're fortunate, if the stock market does not crash, if gas prices stay high because of a cold winter back east, we might come back here next year and have some extra money to spend on one-time projects and actually move some of this money out of the southeastern part of the state and maybe build some community college facilities. Maybe do some things around the state. So that's where this is going. But I look forward to this debate now. In regards to SIPA, I think there'll be multiple amendments. I have an amendment myself. I think we can work together on this to kind of come to an idea. But the SIPA got used, in my opinion, inappropriately when it got dropped into the Department of Health. And then you guys yesterday were able to beat on the Appropriations Committee for cutting the Department of Health's budget. That's not the intent of that. This was supposed to be for these strategic investments. And I think we can get it right. We've got a year experience now. So that's enough of that to answer, I think, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman Harshman. Representative Throne.
Privilege of the floor.
So granted.
Just taking a quick little break, and we'll discontinue the Finance 101 discussion. It's my pleasure to introduce in this gallery our wonderful WAMI students, and if we would hold your applause till I read all the names. There are 20 names, and then as your name is called, if you wouldn't mind standing up. We have Marcus Bailey from Cheyenne, Tyler Baldwin from Riverton, Kelly Baxter from Cheyenne, Sean Bell, Casper, Millie Boyd, Casper, Hannah Chapman, Casper, Melissa Dozier, Laramie, Roberta Enos, Thermopolis, Andrew Flukiger, I tried, Torrington, Sarah Gregory, Gillette, Kyle James, Jackson, Craig Luplo, Sheridan, Kimberly May, Sheridan, Maria McNiven, Burlington, Arla Main Mystica, Wheatland, Rishi Patel, Gillette, Hannah Phillips, Gillette, Cummings Rourke, Jackson, Benjamin Ross, Cody, Elise Seiler, Casper. Please join me in welcoming these wonderful students to the house.
Representative Harvey.
Mr. Chairman, may I have privilege of the floor?
You may.
I was just out in the lobby, and guess what I found? My first Speaker of the House, Mr. Fred Perdy.
Thank you, Representative, and thank you, members of the House, for the privilege of addressing you. I just have one quick fun story to share. So Lisa and I have been in Alaska for 6 years. We're trying to figure out how to come back home right now. But the Alaska legislature, the voters voted in. They had to shorten their sessions from 120 days to 90 days, and they're complaining about it. And I just think back to our work together and think that you can get her done in 20. So good luck to you.
Speaker Perdy, the definition of an Alaska sourdough is someone who's been in Alaska long enough to be sour on the place and have enough dough to leave. Chairman Harshman, we are on page 125 of the bill.
Mr. Chairman, I think if we've exhausted the questions, I think the good chairman of education has a question here before we move on. We could perhaps vote on this section we've discussed and answer questions in a minute. But
Chairman Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My question is, and I'm having difficulty tracking it, where actually was this new intermediary savings account that was created for the foundation program? Where does it exist?
Chairman Harshman.
Yeah, let me, 1 minute, Mr.
It's here, it's there.
Chairman, no, there's, it's right on, Mr. Chairman, it's on page 110, and you can see on line 5, letter G, school foundation program reserve account is hereby created. There's appropriated to the School Foundation Program Reserve Account $30 million from Strategic Investment Projects Account and $70 million from the General Fund on Romanet 1 and 2 on pages or on lines 8 and 12, page 110.
Thank you, Chairman Harshman. Chairman Teeters.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I apologize if this isn't the appropriate time to have that discussion. Is that in the close enough to the section that we're working on right now that I can ask the question, or would the chairman prefer that I wait?
Oh, ask.
Okay. My question is, I'd like to have a little bit more discussion from the chairman and the members of the committee about the creation of this account, what the long-term objective is with the account, and I think we need to have a deeper conversation about the policy behind it and what the plan moving forward is. There's a lot of different perspectives and a lot of different ideas about how we should fund the school foundation program and how we should move forward. Up until this point in history, we have been largely driven by the formula. And I'm the first one out there that thinks that we need to try and figure out a way to continually fund education at the constitutional level. But are we in the driver's seat, or is the formula in the driver's seat? There's dispute on both sides as to whether or not an external cost adjustment was warranted this session. The good co-chairman and myself disagreed with our select committee, our standing committee, on that approach, and then we have a different direction that the committee's taken. My question is, as we move forward into the future, we need to have a continual look as to whether or not we're funding that at a constitutional level. If we are, then I'm not sure why we need an intermediary account to protect ourselves. It would be my hope and objective that if we ever did get to the point where we didn't have enough funds in the school foundation program to fund schools, if we were above the constitutional level, I would prorate the amount back to the districts instead of trying to figure out a way to pile up money and then spend it in the most expeditious way. I'm all about savings accounts, and I think as an institution we have created a lot of savings accounts. I think it's the right and prudent thing to do. But when you create a savings account that will only run the school foundation program for 30 days, I just want to make sure that we understand what the objective is.
Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think when you look at 20% of the revenue looking like it's going off the map, this discussion of whether we have a cost-based model or the legislative model and the $90 million difference, that's a question for 31 votes on this floor. I mean, that's a bigger question than you or I, frankly. And in the past, what governs this? The law governs it. Those are the laws that we've passed on this body. This floor has supported education. We've funded a model that's in excess, and particularly on elementary class sizes is where most of the money. But if you want to save money in education, that's where you go after it. But that's a different issue. But when you're going to lose 20% of your revenue to the education side, I think it's a prudent thing to start recognizing that and start to try to save. And we've done that on the general side with the LISR account. We'd like to try to start to do that on this education side. We've done a great job on the general side. Double the permanent mental trust fund. We're going to double it again. We've got 10% for 10 years of budget money in the LISRA. But we better get going here because we will fund education here. And those will be tough votes to starve it down and to do those things. And that'll all be part of it. I mean, we see revenue going away, a huge revenue stream. And I think it's prudent for us to plan for that.
Chairman Teeters.
Well, thank you. And I don't doubt that we won't find a way to fund education. I think as we recalibrate in the next 5 years, we're going to have to look at trying to figure out how to put some sideboards on it so that it doesn't continue to grow at the rate at which it grows, because it's unsustainable. I agree that we need to look at savings. I just don't think that this is the sort of fix that's going to fix the problem. You've got a very small amount of money that you're placing in this account, and if this body thinks that that's going to fix the problem long term, it's not going to fix the problem. That would be my only comment.
Chairman Harshman.
Mr. Chairman, to have the last word on that, I would just say that a journey of 1,000 miles begins with a step. And I think at one point we put the first dollar in the LISRA, and the first $100 and the first million and the first $100 million. And the same can be said for the permanent mental trust fund. But it's like planting a tree. The best time to do it was, 10 years ago. And so we got to get moving on this, and I think we've done a good job to set aside what we can save and what we can spend. Thank you.
Is there any more discussion on 300 through 305, sections 300 through 305? Any more discussion? Question being called. All those in favor of section 300 through 305, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Section 300 through 305 have passed Committee of the Whole. We're on section 306. Chairman Harshman.
I'd turn that over to the explanation of the next couple sections to Representative Nicholas.
Representative Nicholas.
Well, I do better at these on the fly when I do when I study them anyway, so the 306, I would move the consideration of Section 306, folks. This is just the executive flex language. This is carryover from the previous budgets. Basically, it allows the executive agency, excluding UW, for a 10% fluctuation based upon need, and also then on executive branch, 5%. To move dollars back and forth and to between agencies and to cover those situations where it's necessary during when we're not meeting and some emergency or some issue comes up. The same, if you go to Section 307, does the same thing with the judiciary, gives them a 5% flex in order to deal with situations that arise while we're not in session and to address those problems. Then if you go to Section 308, this is a similar restriction that we've imposed once again from previous budget sessions. This is to limit the transfer from 100 series to 900 series levels of funding within an agency, so that if you don't, you have to follow the B11 process and how you do it. This is the directions that we give to agencies on how they can go about doing that. If you go to Section 309, at will employee contract position freezes, that's a continuation of our mechanism of not hiring additional employees unless we know it or it's been approved through the governor's office. Then if you go to the section 310, once again, this is on revenue shortfalls. This is we talked about a little bit earlier. That allows the governor some flexibility if we have revenue shortfalls to take care of immediate needs pending the next time that we come back into session. If you go to section 311, with regard to the Supreme Court district courts, that just requires them to submit their budgets on a timely basis so that we can review it. Now I'll hand over section 312 to good representative from Strona County.
The majority whip.
And Mr. Chairman, just to clarify, are we closing each of those sections as we're going through it? Do we need to?
You might as well. I'd move if there's no discussion on those ones I just introduced to close through 311.
Is there any further discussion on 306 through 311? Question being called. All those in favor of 306 through 311, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. 306 through 311 have passed Committee of the Whole. Carrying on with 312, Mr. Majority Whip.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move section 312. Section 312 deals with major maintenance funding for state facilities. The total appropriation under Section 312 is $68.6 million. That's split up. 42% of that flows to state facilities, 38% of it flows to the University of Wyoming, and 20% of it flows to the Community College Commission. The flow of these funds is based upon a formula that's founded in the square footage and a standard of keeping facilities and maintaining them in fair condition. And so if there's any questions on those, I'd take them. Otherwise, I'd move to close Section 312.
Is there any further discussion on Section 312? Question being called. All in favor of Section 312, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Section 312 is passed the Committee of the Whole. Mr. Majority Whip.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move Section 313. This is the sort of if it all goes bad, Section 300. It allows that if there is a substantial drop in the Craig report that drops at least $150 million below what had been projected, that $150 million can then be automatically transferred from the LSRA to the general fund. So it's sort of our safety valve on Craig results. If there's no questions on that, I would move to close in Section 313.
Any further discussion on Section 313? Question being called. All in favor of Section 313, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Section 313 has passed Committee of the Whole. Section 314, Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. 314 is on page 135. Everyone is interested in this, as there's a legal sheet, and it's local government distributions. There's a legal sheet that's two-sided. It's probably easier to reference, and I can flip page by page, too, but should have hit your tray here in the last 45 minutes. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, if you would turn to the one with the most boxes, and I think it has my initials with 37 on the front of that page. That's the page we'd like to start. And you can start right at the top. There's $135 million for the biennium, divided 60-40. The 60 is on the left, direct distribution. The county consensus block grant, 40% of that total, is on the right-hand side. Moving over to the left-hand side, total direct distribution. The first thing we do is take that amount of money and divide it, 89% and 11%. The 11% all runs through a hardship formula. The hardship formula is described in the next several pages of the budget bill. But basically, it's based on inverse county assessed valuation. And then for, I believe for cities, it's inverse sales tax receipts per capita. The interesting thing about this, it's not just the hardship in this 11%. There's actually a hidden hardship. And if you go over to the 89%, which we all thought was, for a long time, was just population-based, one-third counties, two-third cities, down inside the city side, there is a piece that talks about adjusted population. It's got a line underneath it. And this is a second hardship for cities hidden in this 89% amount. So that's the way we've done this probably the last three biennia. And you can see the county consensus on the right. So the JAC did not change this. This is the exact amount that flowed out of the legislature to the locals, the exact amount to your communities that we did 2 years ago, the first year of the biennium, $135 million. And you'll recall then in the second year of the biennium, we added $20 million last year. Now, if you would flip over, there's more than just 135 that's going out. If you'd flip that page over to page 2, it says the extra direct distribution appropriation. So this doesn't go through county consensus. And there's $15 million going that's going to be divided over the next 2 years. So actually $150 million will flow out over the next 2 years as opposed to $135 million from last biennium. But in addition to that, there's $25 million more that we've set aside for the second year of the biennium that will flow through this formula. And this formula just basically removes the hardships. We've capped hardship at $135 million, and we've said anything that comes in above that, we're going to run it through the distribution that I call it the where the people actually live distribution. It's based on population. And because when you start running these large sums, $175 million, $200 million, through this hardship formula, it becomes really skewed and I think hard to defend. And so we recognize that there's some counties that probably could give a little extra help to. And so we've tried to do that, but we've also tried to cap that amount moving forward. And so I'd stand for any questions. I could reference any pieces in the bills, in the budget bill itself, if you'd like. So I'd stand for any questions.
Representative Graham.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a quick question for the Chairman of Appropriations. What did the committee base this hard number of $130 million on to put a cap on the hardship funding? What was behind that? Something more than a good idea.
Representative Parchman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That's the amount we did the last biennium. And when we were right in the middle of our deliberations, the PILT money had been pulled from our counties. And so we had this $175 million amount that the governor recommended. I don't think it was in the interest of JC. None of us had talked about reducing that to $150. We wanted the whole $175 to follow the governor's recommendations. We leave in December, come back, PILT is back. Well, we'd written language already in December said if PILT comes through when we're gone, this money will be held and distributed in the second year. We'd already made that decision in December. We come back in January, PILT's back. We debated the issue again, decided to leave it in the second year. But the 135 number was what flowed out last year, and that's how it was decided.
Chairman Gingery.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I had one serious question, one curiosity question. Is there any way on the $40 million that's on the back of your sheet? You got the $15 million that gets split twice, 7.5 this year, 7.5 the next year, and then you got the whole $25 million going the next year, so that they have a little bit more coming this year. Is there any way we could do the full $15 million this year, with the knowledge that the 25 is on this in the next year, rather than 7.5 this year and then 25 plus 7.5, whatever that is? Just a curious, that was one question. And then more of a curiosity question was, over on your 89% split, and this has always fascinated me year after year, there's two towns that have a population less than 35, and we build into the formula that they get at least 10 grand, and then they get a little more than that. You know, one is has a population of 4. I think Van Tassel and Lost Springs has, I think, 15 people. I'm just curious, any thought ever gone into why we're still doing that for a town of 4 people, why there's even still a municipality? But more importantly, that was more a curiosity. The bigger one was, is there any way we could put the 15 on this year rather than just 7.5 and 7.5?
Chairman Hartzman.
To answer the curiosity first, we've talked about it. I don't think anybody wants to bring that amendment to say that this municipality doesn't exist anymore and we're not going to fund yet. We haven't had anybody on JC the last several years to do that. But I hear you on that question, and it's come before us. And if a member out there wants to bring a amendment, I think, you know, we can debate that. I think on the as far as the 7.5, 7.5 plus 25 the second year, and I think your question was to take that 7.5 and make it 15 the first year and 25 the second year. You know, that's just a budget amendment that would need 31 votes. And I don't think we've just tried to kind of keep this base and around 150, 160. And we want to do a number also that we can sustain going forward. I think the worst thing we can do is give the counties and cities all the money we got one year, and then the next year we say, hey, we don't have any money, and we take you down and drop you $100 million. So we're trying to get something consistently that we think we can fund in each budget. But Chairman of Judiciary, you know, work your magic, and we'll just see how that goes. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a question for the Chairman of Appropriations. How does this change the funding formula? I guess when I look at this page, what I see is total appropriations and total how it flows. What I want to know is who are the winners and losers? How does it affect my community? How does it affect my county? Do we have a chart that says who gets what under this scenario?
Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, the good chairman of Labor Health. We'll get those distributed tomorrow. You know, and this packet gets so big that we thought we'd distribute that tomorrow. I would tell you that in every instance, everyone gets more money than they got less by any, except for about two. And that's because their assessed valuation has risen and pulled them out of the hardship. They don't like that, I think. I've heard from those two counties, municipalities. It's only, I mean, it's just a small fraction, but it's, again, they've moved from hardship to non-hardship and lost money on that because they have more local resources to fund their. So you're going to hear all that. There's a lot to this story. So I'll produce those sheets tomorrow. Thank you.
Is there any further discussion on Section 314? Any further discussion on Section 314? Local government distributions 314 through 317. Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As we visited with our county commissioners, as about everybody did, they were very concerned about the drop from $175,000 to $150,000, and now we're looking at $135,000. You turned over on the other page, but I think what you said sounds really good, except when you go home and you told us we were getting $175,000, that was a recommendation, and then the PILT money came back, and so we're, because the PILT money came back, you're not getting this. So that's a little tough for the cities and counties that are calling me anyway.
Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Really, there was some misinformation last week, and I think I drew a real quick chart last week to show you the amounts. And at no time was there less than $175 million in our budget or the governor's recommendation. At no time. And I think folks were confused about it. I think those folks, my commissioners talked to me as well, and once I told them and showed them, it has never been 150. It's been 175 total for the biennium.
Any further discussion on sections 314 through 317 inclusive? Question being called. All those in favor of sections 314 through 317, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. 314 through 317 have passed Committee of the Whole. Representative Moniz.
Mr. Chairman, I move section 318, LCCC, Albany County Campus, page 63 on your cheat sheet and page 152 of the budget bill. Mr. Chairman, JEC added section 318, which authorizes the transfer of the LCCC Albany County campus from the LCCC Foundation to the LCCC District. And, Mr. Chairman, that's section 318. If there's no questions, I'd call for the question.
Is there any further discussion on section 318? Any further discussion on section 318? Question being called. All those in favor of 318, please say aye. Those opposed, no. Section 318 has passed Committee of the Whole. Representative Moniz.
Mr. Chairman, I move section 319, E-Rate Excess Revenue Funds, page 63 on your cheat sheet, page 152 of the budget bill. Mr. Chairman, JEC added section 319, which directs funds from the Universal Service Fund to be deposited to the school foundation account and assigns responsibility for application of future funding to the Department of Enterprise Technology. That's section 318 or 319, Mr. Chairman. If there are no questions, I would move to close section 319.
Mr. Majority Whip, is there any further discussion on 319? Question being called. All in favor of 319, please say aye. Those opposed, no. 319 has passed Committee of the Whole. Mr. Majority Whip.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move section 320 and ask for your favorable consideration. And 320 is where we dealt with compensation and the proposed compensation increase. And let me start by giving you just a couple sort of broad comments before we dig into the numbers. One is that, in the chairman mentioned a couple of these when we were talking about K-12 a little bit earlier, but it's important to remember that when we're talking about these percentages, whether they be 2% or 1% or whatever, we're not talking about across-the-board pay increases, especially when we're talking about state employees. The governor came in. He talked to us in great detail about that this is a pay scheme and a pay approach that contemplates both merit and market pay. And so this is not a situation where every state employee is going to receive an across-the-board raise in the same amount at any stretch of the imagination. Instead, for example, if you have somebody that is far from market pay, that has extraordinary evaluations over the last couple of years, they are going to see a much greater salary increase than somebody who is either at market pay or who has not received good reviews. And the governor has been very diligent over the last couple of years about ensuring that departments are doing their annual evaluations of employees, that I think there's a 98% compliance rate across state government on those evaluations. And so what we are looking for is an amount that is given to the executive to allow him to implement a pay plan and a pay program that contemplates those various factors. The second thing, sort of global comment I would make, is on the issue of retirement, because you will see both in the governor's rec and in what JAC did, we have chosen to accomplish some of the compensation plan through picking up the employee's share of their retirement. And that would include the employee's share from the bill last year, and it would include the employee's share from the bill this year that we spoke about. And we did that for a couple of reasons, and I'll tell you that it was an idea that I was not warm to when we first met, but I was convinced because of a couple of things. One, it is the cheapest way to compensate employees for a couple of reasons. One, you don't see any tax impact on that on when we pick up the employee's share. So if we pick up a dollar of their contribution to retirement, it ends up a dollar ends up in their pocket rather than a dollar minus 25% tax. And so it is the cheapest way to get the most money into employees' pockets. And so that's reason one. It also becomes cheaper on the back end because if you just increase salary, remember we pay out retirement based upon what an employee's salary is at the time that they leave government service. And you look at the last 3 years. So if you bump up salary, you also bump up the requirements of the retirement system going forward. If you instead take care of the employee's share of the retirement, you don't have that same bump up. It's a sort of neutral impact going forward for retirement. So that's another area of savings that you get. And finally, especially when we're dealing with agencies that are subject to a block type of grant, like K through 12, like the university, it is the most efficient way for this body to get money actually to salaries. So, for example, we bump up university's budget $2 million for salaries. Nothing says that goes towards salaries. It goes in a block grant. And so if you do it through the retirement, offsetting the retirement expense, you are assured that those are dollars that go directly to employees. So those are sort of the reasons why we decided to include retirement as part of this compensation scheme. And let me refer you to, in your inbox, you will have a chart and listed at the top. It says JEC recommendation as of 1/24/2014 budget markup. And it has an outline of the various numbers and issues related to the compensation package. And you can see the total general fund impact of what JEC recommends is $39.5 million. The total impact to the school foundation program for the increased DCA and covering of retirement is $41.7 million. Now, let me just real quickly, we did not take a blanket approach to each type of state employee. We instead looked at the various entities and different factors and instead structured our recommendation accordingly. So let's talk about executive, legislative, judicial pay first. What we did, the governor's rec on that was 2.5% increase first year of the biennium, 2.5% increase second year of the biennium, and pick up those components of the retirement that I just spoke about. JAC, we decreased that by 0.5% each year. So it's a 2% increase the first year, 2% increase the second year, and the retirement. The one other component is there was a separate request for merit pay increase. That governor requested $2.9 million. We gave $2 million for merit pay increases for him to use as part of his plan. With University of Wyoming, we took a little bit different tact. It was the same 2% plus 2% in the second year and retirement, except we cut out what the governor had requested for merit pay. We did that because of the block grant system. I mean, we were putting money into the block grant for the university to allocate for salaries, and so that portion of it was removed from the UW salary package. And finally, on community colleges, there was a lot of discussion because there are community colleges that have given pay raises over the last few years. There are state employees, unless you've increased in one of those steps, that haven't seen pay increases for 4 years. You haven't seen that same thing in community colleges. They have been able to give raises in part because they have resources other than just the state resources coming to them. So the governor's recommendation was just a one-time, 2%, not just in the first year, a 2%, which of course carries over, but no additional increases after that. We went along with that recommendation with one exception. You'll remember we added $9 million in for enrollment growth for the community colleges, and those are funds that they can use and are available to them for salary increases. So they do have the 2% specifically for salaries, but they've also got those resources from the enrollment growth that we have funded. And so I know it's a pretty quick run-through, but I'd be more than willing to take any questions that folks may have on this.
Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a question. I don't have the line item at my fingertips, but I think I remember from yesterday, although at this point it seems like it was a month ago, I think we discussed yesterday about a $20,000 appropriation for a pay study. Making sure that we're up to market, is that the study that they're going to do so it'll be an up-to-date pay study, and so those two, that's linked with the appropriations for the salary increase?
Mr. Majority Whip.
Mr. Chairman, yeah, that's correct. So we have what you have probably heard called the HAY system, which gives us an estimate of market, of where employees stand with relationship to market. But the pay tables have to be periodically updated. That's what that $20,000 appropriation is for.
Representative Croker.
Thank you. Just a quick question that I'm confused by. On page 153, line 12, it says, each installment shall be distributed to each community college in the following proportions. Then it goes through the community colleges, and the last one on the list is Wyoming Public Television. So I'm wondering why Wyoming Public Television is included as a community college.
Mr. Majority Whip.
Mr. Chairman, that's a good question. I'm trying. I think those employees are state employees and they're compensated as state employees. So I'm not. I think I'm hoping that the chairman is going to rush to the microphone and give us an answer here in just a sec.
Representative Patton.
Western Wyoming Community College is the home operating division of Wyoming Television, public television, excuse me. It has its own foundation and everything there in Riverton.
Representative Kirkbride. Hello? I'm sorry, Representative Larson.
Thank you, Uncle Sly. I mean, Chairman.
Am I understanding this correct? Then on the ECA that the JAC did approve for K-12, that then is going to be for salary increases and retirement, and then the other external cost adjustment was cut. Am I correct in understanding that?
Representative Stubson.
Mr. Chairman, not quite. So remember, the ECA includes the four separate components, which is, you know, it includes everything from utilities to teachers to supplies costs, all those sorts of things. So when we talk about the 1% ECA, we're talking about all four of those components combined and what it ends up being. And so you see that 1% increase, but it just goes to the districts. They don't have to use that for salaries necessarily. I mean, a huge component of that ECA is contemplated to be used for salaries, but they don't have to. So it flows to, and that again was one of the reasons why we also addressed the retirement, because that part, you're guaranteed, is actually going to salaries for teachers in the state.
Is there any further discussion on 320?
If there are no further questions, I go ahead and move that we close Section 320.
Any further discussion on Section 320? Any question being called on 320? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say no. Section 320 has passed Committee of the Whole. Moving to Section 321. Representative Esquivel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Section 321. Folks, we were getting these large packets of B-11s from the governor's office, and it was hard for us to really disseminate within those big packets where the distinction was on legislative authorization of moving positions. So what we're doing here in 321 is directing the budget division ANI and the Legislative Service Office to come up with a structure that will classify those transfers under the B-11 process so we can see what we've done within the legislative structure following those transfers to better understand it and better follow it. If there's not any questions on that one, there's no funds associated with Section 321. It's just trying to simplify for us to understand the transfers in B-11s.
Any further discussion on Section 321? Question being called. All in favor of 321, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say no. Section 321 has passed Committee of the Whole. Section 322.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Esquivel.
322, move to the budget bill. And this one, you read that, it's about any official map that is published with state funds indicate the boundaries of the Wind River Indian Reservation as established by the treaty dating back to 1868. There were about 12 different congressional acts that diminished the boundaries, and then we had the decision by the EPA recently that changed that, and there was some concerns that state funds should reflect those original boundaries.
Is there any further discussion on Section 322? Question being called. All in favor of Section 322, please say aye. Those opposed, no. Section 322 has passed.
Yeah.
Committee of the Whole. Section 323, which is page 162 of your bill. Representative Esquivel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And this kind of goes back to my previous JAC members talking about salaries to state employees, and we also wanted to be able to make sure that when we legislate salary increases that agencies aren't putting in what we call budget creep or step increases into their standard budgets, and that we want to make sure that those agencies' request for salaries are not in their 2017-18 standard budget for, so we're just trying to make sure that when we decide we're going to give salary increases that it's not within the agencies, but it's within the legislative process.
Is there any further discussion on Section 323? Any further discussion? Question being called. On 323, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Section 323 has passed Committee of the Whole. Section 324.
Mr. Chairman, before we do that, I'd privilege the floor real quick.
Yes, please.
You know, once again, a lot of us don't know, are new to the appropriations, and it's a complicated, difficult thing just to figure out the bits and pieces of it. And we got a long way to go. I do. A lot of us do. But the real person that helps us more than anybody else understand this, and it's kind of like a walking encyclopedia, happens to be sitting up there by Mr. Harshman. And it also happens to be Mr. Don Rich's birthday. So perhaps we could sing a little song.
Happy birthday to you.
Moving right along, Representative Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Folks, I'm bringing to you Section 324, which is entitled Carbon Recapture, Sequestration, and Management. What this is, in a nutshell, is that industry got together and made a presentation to the governor's office, and then that was brought to us to create a mechanism by which to design, construct an integrated test center to help us on sequestration and management of carbon emissions from coal. And it's really a creative, neat program. Basically, they're going to create $1 million prize, and that $1 million prize or whatever is funded by industry. And we're going to have 5 or 6 or 7 bays that will be attached to a coal facility up in the northeastern part of the state. Well, they'll capture this, and there'll be test units for the number of bays out there for companies to come in, and these will all be pre-qualified companies that will come in, set up the shop, and basically run experiments in order to figure out how to best utilize and sequester CO2 from our coal reserves. What they asked the state of Wyoming to do was to appropriate approximately $15 million. Of that $15 million, we will own these facilities, these bays that are being constructed adjacent to the coal facility. And then at the end of this process, we will still have possession of these test facilities. In addition to that, one of these bays will be basically assigned to the University of Wyoming and the engineering department to go up there, and they will be a part of this process and come up with a plan and present it and then go forward with that. What else the industry is contributing is first of all, $5 million matching to build this facility, these bays. And then on top of that, approximately $50 million to put this process all together. So in essence, for about a $15 million investment from the state of Wyoming, we're going to come up with at least $65 million worth of benefit of dollars, $1 to $6 essentially, plus the $10 million prize, plus all of the employees and facilities that go on up there that will be put in place on that. In addition, then, what we may do, and hopefully what we'll develop, is a mechanism by which we can best use our coal into the long-term future based upon, coal markets and what's happening with coal today. So that's basically what this is only brought to us about 3 or 4 weeks ago. It's still kind of in the infancy. We're putting it together. This allows us to go forward. It probably is nothing. A lot's going to happen at least for another 6 months. If you walk through the language itself, certain things have to happen and everything has to fall together. But this just sets aside the funds so that if this process goes forwards, it will be a wonderful thing for Wyoming and a great use of our dollars and for our coal industry. So I'm happy to take any questions. If I can't answer them, then Mr. Speaker knows a lot more about this than I do. So.
Is there any further discussion on Section 324, Carbon Capture and Sequestration? Any further discussion?
Move to close.
Question being called. All those in favor of Section 324, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Section 324 has passed Committee of the Whole. Moving on to Section 325, Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This idea in 325 is really the first run in this budget. I think we're working on better language to pull all these initiatives together. I remember when the representative from Riverton and I served on the nuclear energy production study. We met with Idaho Labs. We did all this work. We're thinking about some kind of energy reservation or energy campus. And then other folks have been talking about an industrial campus. And there's been all this talk around all these ideas. And we've said, let's try to pull all this together. You've got the executive branch running their energy policy. You've got folks in these chambers talking about things we can do to move our minerals up the food chain, the value food chain. And so this is an attempt to really kind of start bringing some folks together. I would tell you, this is a work in progress. I'll probably have an amendment for you tomorrow or on third reading even. Certainly the legislature needs to be involved more than this amendment, but I'd like you to, just for this concept, it's really the idea that the governor shall convene representatives, but these are the folks that should be at the table. And I think the key piece missing here, obviously, is the legislature, but the Wyoming Business Council, University of Wyoming, and all their research and economic development, School of Energy Resources, Advanced Conversion Technology Task Force, the Pipeline Authority, the Infrastructure Authority, the Western Research Institute, Idaho National Labs, etc. There's no money in this footnote. We're telling the governor to take it out of his Section 1 funds and his energy policy. But the idea then is to really, where in Wyoming, would something like this go? Where? How could we do it? How could you do the pre-permitting? How about water resources and our calls on the Green River and all those things? There's a lot of things here. We need a lot of smart people to be working on this in several task force and try to pull this together. But the idea really is kind of forming. You look at Alberta and the Heartland Industrial Park and what they did to really be business friendly and bring folks in. And there are large game changers that could move to Wyoming. Water, natural resources, our transportation with railroads and our interstates. I mean, we are perfectly situated. And so there's kind of this hope that this idea that let's pull this together and what's the next big thing, really a game changer for our people to really move these minerals of ours really up the food chain. And so that's what this is about. It's still a work in progress, and I'd stand for any questions.
Representative Burkhart. Nope. Any further discussion on 325, Energy Campus?
Question.
Section 325, question being called. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Section 325 has passed Committee of the Whole. Section 326, Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Section 326 talks about expenditures made to the Wyoming State Penitentiary. The penitentiary had a north facility that was to be demolished and buried on site, and money was appropriated for that. They found that they couldn't bury it on site because the concrete and the materials had too much metal in them, and the EPA DEQ would not allow them to bury it on site. So there it sat for a number of years because it became too expensive to haul to the only facility here, which is the state to the west of us, that could take it. This appropriation ends that expenditure and closes it out of that account in favor of letting the Department of Corrections look for a contractor who is willing to accept that material and use the metal in it as part of the payment for disposal. So that had to be authorized, and that's kind of it in a nutshell. They're to see if contractors will take it, dispose of it, using the materials in there as part of their payment, and then report back before they do. There's a lot of stainless steel, iron, those sorts of things that weren't to be buried but do have a value as scrap. With that, I'll stand for questions.
Representative Baker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to thank JAC for taking this up. This language is offered to them by me from about 250 miles away, and I appreciate them taking that up. The original language did two things, and they approved one of them. And I'm just wondering, what was the train of thought in the JAC's discussions as to why they didn't protect those funds from reappropriation or from reversion? This is money that was allocated back in 2004, and it's clearly going to be a very expensive task to demolish this facility. And the language that's offered here is not protecting those funds, and it's not authorizing any activity until April 1st of 2015. And I guess that's a concern of mine, that we're just going to continue to push this down the road. I think they're ready to move forward with this, and the amendment that I have that I'll be bringing to the floor is going to tighten up a little bit of the language and ensure that any of that money that's already been appropriated and any money that would come from proceeds would revert right back to the general fund. So I think it's prudent of us to just move forward with this. And if you could just discuss what their thought was and not protecting this money from reversion.
Representative Burkhart. Chairman Harshman.
Thank you. I think I can answer. Capital construction funds, as a matter of law, don't revert. So these funds are going to stay there. And I know there's some concern in the agency, but these funds, as our intent and our understanding, are going to stay there. And they'll come back to us how this whole bid process works. So.
Is there any further discussion on Section 326? Question being called. All in favor of 326, please say aye. Those opposed, no. Section 326 has passed Committee of the Whole. Section 327, UW Engineering Building. Representative Moniz.
Mr. Chairman, excuse me, I move Section 327, UW Engineering Building, page 63 in your cheat sheet, page 168 on your budget bill. Mr. Chairman, JAC added Section 327, which authorizes the release of funding for the University of Wyoming Engineering Building with conditions. You can see the conditions A through D in that section. Mr. Chairman, I'd stand for questions, and if there are no questions, I'd move to close Section 327.
Question being called. All in favor of Section 327, please signify by saying aye. Those opposed, no. Section 327 is passed Committee of the Whole. Section 328, Mr. Majority Whip.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move Section 328, Court Security Funding. There is a bill that's moving through the process that sets up a new program for court security funding. This is really an alternative approach. That bill had, at least at the beginning of its travels, $10 million in it. You'll see this has $3 million. And instead of setting up a new program, there were a couple identified problems in the state. This sets up a short-term solution to those, which includes a requirement that local governments come up with half, a 50% match for any funds granted under this program. It specifically identifies those two courts that need help at the top of page 170 in your budget, and really is probably a little bit more conservative approach than setting up a new program to deal with the court security issue. So I'd take any questions, and if there are no questions, I'd move to close Section 328.
Is there any further discussion on Section 328? Question being called. All in favor of Section 328, please say aye. Those opposed, no. Section 328 has passed Committee of the Whole. Our next section is 329, Department of Health Facilities Task Force. Representative Subson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move Section 329, Department of Health Facilities Task Force. This, you've heard reference to this throughout our discussion of the budget, but as we look forward to significant capital expenditures on our state health facilities, this sets up a task force to really come up with a game plan of how we do that, how much we invest in that, and over what period of time. It includes legislative members from both bodies, as well as members appointed by the governor, and requires recommendations to be made by November 1st of 2014. And I take any questions.
Representative Summers.
Mr. Chairman, I have one question, and that is, this looks an awful lot like a bill placed in this footnote, and I'm curious why appropriations didn't bring this as a bill to the legislature.
Mr. Majority Whip.
Mr. Chairman, really, it doesn't really belong in a bill because it's such a short-term deal. I mean, you certainly could bring a bill, but this is a task force that's is going to have a life of less than 10 months, and it's a very discreet task force with a discreet purpose and a reporting requirement, and I'm not sure we had discussion, but I think the benefit of doing it this way is you don't end up with a task force living on in perpetuity. What you get is the result you're looking for and moving on.
Representative Summers.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Could you repeat, who is this going to report to?
Representative Stepson.
Mr. Chairman, it reports both to the JAC and the Joint Labor Committee.
Is there any further discussion on Section 329? Question being called. All in favor of 329, Department of Health Facilities Task Force, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Section 329 has passed Committee of the Whole. Section 330, Computer Purchases. Representative Nicholas.
They give me these complicated ones. I'd move Section 330, Computer Purchases. This is just directions to the State Technology Replacement Program on how to go about getting the best deals for computers. So if there's no questions, I'd move to close.
Question being called. All in favor of Section 330, please say aye. Those opposed, say no. Section 330 has passed Committee of the Whole.
Next section for our consideration is 331 AML, redirection of prior authorization. Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Section 331 contains reauthorization of previously authorized AML funds. Right now, letting any AML funds revert, they just go back into the AML account that still exists in Washington. We get no use out of them, and once they're there, we won't get them back. So there were a number of funds that were left open that weren't expended in the that were appropriated last session, last budget, and weren't completely used. So $3 million for purchasing instruments and equipment in the high bay facility do not revert. There were monies allotted for the University of Wyoming to conduct research into rare earths processing. That money, there's about $200,000 left of it. It does not revert, and the university can continue to use that money in this appropriation. And then there's an additional appropriation of $500,000 from the general fund in, to be matched to continue that research. And they can only expend it on those certain things to do with value-added products, applied research, and those sorts of things, and then provide a report on that research to the Joint Appropriations and Joint Minerals Committee. And that is, also budgeted in the last budget bill were, at that time it was $200,000 to the Wyoming Geologic Survey to see what other rare earths are available in Wyoming that could be extracted. They did not expend $92,000 of that. Very good stewards of the state's money. I think some of you have seen the report they prepared and the material they have on their website. They're being allowed to keep that money. It should not revert. And it and an additional amount of money to out of general fund to come up to $250,000 to the State Geologic Survey to do some more specific research on minerals in the state that have an economic value, such as zeolites, which can be used for carbon capture, cleaning water, and that sort of thing, which are abundant in the state. Some lithium deposits, additionally some iron ore deposits that some people are interested in developing. So that money will stay with a small appropriation out of general funds to let them continue that work. And that is Section 331.
Is there any further discussion on Section 331?
Call for the question.
Question being called. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say no. Section 331 has passed Committee of the Whole. Section 332 is our next item up. Wyoming State Vet Biosafety Level 3 Laboratory.
Mr. Chairman, I move Section 332, Wyoming State Biosafety Level 3 Lab, page 63 on your cheat sheet, page 176 on your budget bill.
Representative Moniz.
Mr. Chairman, JAC added Section 332, which authorizes a loan from the risk management pool to UW to repair damages of the state veterinary biosafety level 3 lab and establishes repayment provisions. As you can see on page 176, those provisions are there. Mr. Chairman, I'd entertain any questions on Section 332.
Any more discussion on Section 332?
If not, Mr. Chairman, I'd move Section 332.
Question being called. All in favor of 332, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Section 332 is passed Committee of the Whole. Mr. Majority Whip.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It is my pleasure to bring you the final Section 300, Section 333, and I'd move it for your consideration. This is, you've heard some discussion about this previously, but this is the appropriation of $15 million to the cease and transfer Municipal Solid Waste Account. There is about $11 million appropriated towards the grant program and about $4 million towards the loan program. This section also appropriates out of the landfill remediation account, which has been funded through prior appropriations. I think it's, I can't remember how much it has, 45, 60 million, something like that. We're appropriating $17 million out for use in landfill remediation over the next biennium. If there are any questions, I'd take them. Otherwise, I'd move to close section 333.
Sir, Chairman Harshman, is there any further discussion on section 333? Question being called. All in favor of section 333, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Section 333 has passed committee of the whole. Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And the last section actually is 400 on 127 of the effective date of the budget, so I'd move section 400.
Is there any discussion on section 400? Question being called. All in favor of section 400, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. Section 400 has passed committee of the whole. Ladies and gentlemen, that seems to be the end of the budget. The overall motion, the question is on Representative Harshman's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that House Bill 1 do pass. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion carried. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Chairman, I move the Committee of the Whole rise and report with respect to House Bill 1.
You've heard the motion. All in favor, say aye. Those opposed? No. Motion carries.
Reading clerk will read the committee of the whole report.
Mr. Speaker, with respect to the continuation of the Budget Bill 1, the Committee of the Whole took action as follows. Section 69, adopted. Section 70, adopted. Section 72, adopted. Section 77, adopted. Section 80, adopted. Section 81, adopted. Section 85, adopted. Section 101, adopted. Section 102, adopted. Section 103, adopted. Sections 120 through 141, excluding 132, adopted. Section 132, adopted. Section 142, adopted. Section 151, adopted. Section 157, adopted. Section 160, adopted. Section 167, adopted. Section 205, adopted. Section 206, adopted. Section 211, adopted. Section 220, adopted. Section 270, adopted. Section 12, 16, 17, 19, 22, 28, 30, 31, 33, 34, 35, 38, 43, 52, 54, 56, 58, 59, 61, 62, 66 plus 65, 68, 75, 78, 79, 83, 84, and 251, adopted. Section 118, adopted. Section 36, adopted. Section 46, adopted. Representative Brown moved that the House rise and sit again. Section 3, adopted. Section 67, adopted. Section 300 through 305, adopted. Section 306 through 311, adopted. Section 312, adopted. Section 313, adopted. Section 314 through 317, adopted. Section 318, adopted. Section 319, adopted. Section 320, adopted. Section 321, adopted. Section 322, adopted. Section 323, adopted. Section 324, adopted. Section 325, adopted. Section 326, adopted. Section 327, adopted. Section 328, adopted. Section 329, adopted. Section 330, adopted. Section 331, adopted. Section 332, adopted. Section 333, adopted. Section 400, adopted. House Bill 1, recommend due passed. Signed by Representative Gay, Chairman.
Representative Gay.
Mr. Speaker, I move Committee of the Whole report on House Bill 1, the budget.
You've heard the motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? House Bill number 1 is passed Committee of the Whole. We're at that order of business of messages from the
Senate. Are you going to do messages first?
We've got to do messages from the Senate and reports from standing committees, and then we'll go back into the general file. Okay, we're at that order of business of messages from the Senate.
Message 131. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate File 3, School Facilities Collaborative Committee Process, Ayes 29, Noes 1, signed Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 132. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate File 16, Insurance Guarantee Association Model Act, Ayes 30, Noes 0. Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 133. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate File 33, County Board of Equalization, Dash 2. Ayes 30, Noes 0. Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 134. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate File 42. Electrical Licensing, Installation of Light Bulbs. Ayes 30, Noes 0. Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 135. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate File 48, Cultural Trust Fund Board Membership. Ayes 30, Noes 0. Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 136. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate File 56, State Engineer Fees, Ayes 21, Noes 1, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 137. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate File 57, Reduction of Boards and Commissions, Ayes 29, Noes 1, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 138. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate File 58, National Guard Service Governor's Authority, Ayes 25, Noes 5, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 139. The bill listed below passed the Senate on the third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate File 70, State Appropriations, Lapsing of Funds. Ayes 30, Noes 0. Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 140. The bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate File 78, the Jason Flatt Act, Dash 2. Ayes 28, Noes 2. Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 141. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on the third reading by the vote indicated. Senate File 81, Employer Access to Social Media Accounts. Ayes 28, Noes 2. Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below, message number 142, passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate File 84, Child Support Payment, 29 A's, 1 no, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 143, Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate File 103, State Buildings, Dash Construction. Ayes 27, Noes 3, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 144, Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on the third reading by the vote indicated. Senate File 45, Game and Fish Department, General Fund Budget Request, Eyes 17, Nose 13, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk.
With that order of business of reports from standing committees.
House Bill number 77 is introduced by Representative Croker. Your committee number one, Judiciary, to whom was referred House Bill 77, Student Religious Liberties, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with the following amendment. There were 8 ayes and 1 no. Those who voted aye, Representatives Baker, Gingrey, Halverson, Croker, Crone, Miller, Walters, and Watt, 1 no. Representative Conley, signed by Representative Gingrey, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number one, Judiciary, to whom is referred House Bill 100, Investigative Subpoenas, respectfully reports saying back to the House with recommendation that it do pass with the following amendment. Those who voted aye, Representatives Baker, Connolly, Gingrey, Halverson, Croker, Walters, Watt, 2 excused, Representative Crone and Miller, signed by Representative Gingrey, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 1, Judiciary, to whom is referred House Bill 105, Unmanned Aerial Surveillance, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with the following amendment. Those who voted aye, Representatives Baker, Gingrey, Halverson, Croker, and Watt, 2 no votes, Representative Connolly and Walters, 2 excused, Representative Crone and Miller, signed by Representative Gingrey, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred House Bill 42, School Facilities Appropriations, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Blickery, Burkhardt, Escobel, Harshman, Moniz, Nicholas Stubson, signed by Representative Harshman, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 2, Appropriations, to whom is referred House Bill 102, Sage-Grouse Implementation Team, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Blickery, Burkhardt, Escobel, Harshman, Moniz, Nicholas, and Stubson, signed by Representative Harshman, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 4, Education, to whom was referred House Bill 97, Education State Administration, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Hunt, Northrop, Paxton, Pieperinen, and Summers and Teeters. Those who voted no, Representatives Conley, Freeman, and Patton, signed by Representative Teeters, Chairman.
With that order of business, oh, I'm sorry.
That's up here. I've got a few. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 5, Agriculture, State and Public Lands and Water Resources, to whom is referred House Bill 72, the Omnibus Water Bill Planning, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Blake, Campbell, Eklund, Hunt, McKim, Simlick, Winters, Danswanitzer, 1 no, Representative Greer, signed by Representative Simlick, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 5, Agriculture, State and Public Lands and Water Resources, to whom is referred House Bill 79, Critical Access Hospital Endowment Challenge Program, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Blake, Campbell, Eklund, Greer, Hunt, McKim, Simlick, Winters, and Danswanitzer, signed by Representative Simlick, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 5, Agricultural, State and Public Lands and Water Resources, whom is referred House Bill 152, Water Research, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Campbell, Eklund, McKim, Simlick, Winters. Those who voted no, Representatives Blake, Greer, Hunt, and Danswanitzer, signed by Representative Simlick, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom is referred House Bill 13, UCC Liens, Electronic Filing, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Berger, Byrd, Gay, Green, Kirkbride, Mader, Paxton, Petroff, and Danziger, signed by Representative Berger, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom is referred House Bill 14, Business Entities and Revisions, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Berger, Byrd, Gay, Green, Kirkbride, Mader, Paxton, Petroff, and Danziger, signed by Representative Berger, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom is referred House Bill 15, Business Entities, Enforcement, and Penalties, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Berger, Byrd, Gay, Green, Kirkbride, Mader, Paxton, Petroff, and Danziger, signed by Representative Berger, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom is referred House Bill 98, State Investment Services, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with the following amendment. Those who voted aye, Representatives Berger, Byrd, Gay, Green, Kirkbride, Mader, Paxton, Petroff, and Danziger, signed by Representative Berger, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom is referred House Bill 73, State Employment, Persons with Disabilities, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with the following amendment. Those who voted aye, Representatives Barlow, Coleman, Filer, Green, Harvey, Kasperic, Larson, Throne, and Wilson, signed by Representative Harvey, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee, number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom have referred House Bill 173, Schools and Administration of, Epinephrine, to respectfully report saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with the following amendment. Those who voted aye, Representative Barlow, Coleman, Filer, Green, Harvey, Kasperic, Larson, Throne, and Wilson, signed by Representative Green, Vice Chairman.
There were at that order of business of re-referral of bills. Chairman Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I will refer House Bill 101 to Appropriations Committee Number 2.
Chairman, without objection, it is so ordered. Chairman Sinlak.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would ask that House Bill 72 and House Bill 152 be referred to Committee Number 2 as it has an appropriation.
Without objection, it is so ordered. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House resolve itself into Committee of the Whole for consideration of general file.
You've heard the motion. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? House is resolved into Committee of the Whole. Representative Gay, welcome back to the last 3 miles of the marathon. Committee of the Whole will please come to order once again. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill, House Joint Resolution 1. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Joint Resolution Number 1 is introduced by Representative Byrd, a joint resolution requesting Congress to support Taiwan's participation in appropriate international organizations and to resume free trade talks with Taiwan. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, who was referred House Joint Resolution 1, support of Taiwan, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. There were 9 aye votes on this bill.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Lockhart?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with a recommendation that House Joint Resolution Number 1 do pass, and I'll turn the explanation of it of the good representative from our capital city and the sponsor of this bill.
Representative Byrd.
Thank you, Chairman Lockhart, and thank you, Chairman. I bring to you House Joint Resolution Number 1. We discussed this on introduction, so I think I'll be fairly brief with this. Basically, outlining this is it underscores the state of Wyoming's trade relationship with the country of Taiwan and points out that we are trying to and want to be an integral trading partner with all of our resources. We spent the last couple days in here talking about places that we need to send our coal, Southeast Asia, developing partnerships. This is one way to send a message to those folks over there that we are serious about developing these relationships, exchanging intellectual capital, the whole nine yards. So I'm sure that every one of you have read this from end to end. Basically, it just restates some positions with trade agreements and U.S. policy. And I think that it would be in our best interest to send this as a clear signal to the country of Taiwan and the rest of the government that we're not going to sit around and wait for them. We have business to do here in Wyoming, and we're going to go forward with it. So I would encourage your aye vote. Thank you.
Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. About 10% of Australia's gross domestic product is coal sales to Asia. That's one out of every $10 in their economy is coal sales to Asia. These people want to buy our coal. We had the opportunity to go meet in Seattle with a delegation after we met with some delegations in the port city to talk about coal ports. If we can get them the coal, they will buy as much coal as we can sell them. So patting our friends on the back when they want to give us lots and lots of money, I think, is a good thing. I'd urge you to support this resolution.
Chairman Lockhart. Is there any further discussion on the bill? Question being called. All in favor of House Joint Resolution 1, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. House Joint 1 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 47, Representative Berger.
I've
got to read the bill.
Oops. First reading of the bill. I'm sorry.
House Bill number 47 is presented by Representative Berger, an act relating to government royalty revenues, providing a definition and providing for an effective date. Mr. Speaker, Committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom is referred House Bill 47, Government Royalty Revenues Definition, respectfully recommends that it do pass with the following amendments. There were 5 ayes, 3 noes, and 1 excuse, signed by Representative Berger, Chairman.
Chairman Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill 47 do pass, and I further move the adoption of the Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 47 and ask for your favorable consideration. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to dispense with the Standing Committee Amendment as per our introduction on the bill for including natural gas in the grant process with our State Land Investment Board. I had also added broadband network. And what I'd like to do is delete that. As a committee, we would like to delete that from the bill because we found that there were other federal regulations and conflicts with adding that term in there. So that's what it does. And then we narrowed the essential public service with a local natural gas utility pipeline and distribution center. And so with that, Mr. Chairman, I would call for the question.
Question on the amendment having been called. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The amendment carries. On to the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. What this bill does is it allows our more rural communities the opportunity to apply for a grant for the possibility of a public-private partnership on natural gas pipeline installation in communities. And for many of you that live in rural areas, about 36% of our communities do not have natural gas. And this is, we think, a way of offering a public service or an opportunity for them to apply. In many of the communities, they're forming joint powers boards and looking at it. Now, take into consideration that there are some communities that this wouldn't work well for. It would not be cost effective. And so their other alternative is probably propane. We had a robust discussion in our committee, and there are some logistics we have to work out. But I was delighted to see that the bill was up early today in our committee of the whole, and I am working with the State Land Investment Board and several other stakeholders to come forward with an amendment to try to work on the details of the practicality if a community was awarded a grant like this, how it would work in a relationship with a private-public sector. So with that, I would ask for favorable consideration on the bill. Thank you.
Is there any other discussion on the bill? Representative Mader.
Mr. Chairman, there was some of the discussion I just want to bring to your attention. There's a phrase there on the bottom, first part, or the first page of the bill about essential public service, and many were wondering if that was going to bring them back in under the Public Service Commission, and that had just been changed in recent legislation, so I just bring it up so you can think about that. Thanks.
Is there any other discussion on the bill? Are you ready for the question being called? All those in favor of Chairman Berger's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill 47 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. House Bill 47 has passed Committee of the Whole. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 147.
House Bill 147 is introduced by Representative Miller, an act relating to the Wyoming Infrastructure Authority, expanding facilities authorized under the authority to include energy transmission facilities, including coal distribution facilities and ports, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, to whom is referred House Bill 147, respectfully reports back with the recommendation that it do pass. There were 9 ayes on this bill. Signed by Representative Lockhart, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Lockhart?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that the Committee of the Whole Rises report to do so with the recommendation that Bill Number 147 do pass, and I'll turn the explanation of the bill over to the good representative from Riverton, Wyoming.
Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. House Bill 147, Infrastructure Authority Energy Transmission, is a very simple bill. You heard there's not a lot more to explain that I covered on the introduction. It goes into our existing infrastructure authority and adds the ability to bond for a port if so needed. And we had testimony in Minerals Committee about this. The infrastructure authority director was there. It was real interesting. He just basically said this would be another quiver, another arrow in the quiver of tools that we have here in Wyoming to help us get access to these export markets for our resources here in Wyoming. You heard a bill a little bit ago on one of the East Asian countries. There's a number of East Asian countries that are interested in our coal. Our coal is cleaner than the coal they currently get from Australia and Indonesia. This is a good thing for Wyoming because it takes up some of the slack from the utilities in the U.S. that are now not using Wyoming coal anymore. So hopefully we'll get the exports up to take up that slack and keep the revenue flowing into Wyoming. And I ask for your favorable vote.
Is there any other discussion on the bill? Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Lockhart's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Bill Number 147 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. 147 has passed Committee of the Hall. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 96.
House Bill 96 is introduced by Representative Stebson, an act relating to professional assistance programs, expanding the program to include treatment for mental and behavioral health issues. making corresponding amendment regarding access to records by licensing authorities, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom is referred House Bill 96, reports same back with the recommendation that it do pass. There were 8 ayes and 1 excuse, signed by Representative Berger, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Berger?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that House Bill 96 do pass, and I turn the bill over to Majority Whip Tim Stubson.
Mr. Majority Whip.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The bill before you, House Bill 96, really just seeks to tweak an existing program under the statute to make sure it includes all the problems that exist among our professionals in the state. And essentially what this program is, the professional assistance program, is it's set up for any licensed professional, whether they be medical health care providers, lawyers, engineers, psychologists. It creates a program where they can get help currently for any substance abuse problems, whether drug and alcohol abuse. And it allows the licensing boards to set up programs for referral, for monitoring, and those sorts of things, so that if a professional is having a problem, even as part of maybe a disciplinary proceeding, it allows the licensing board to structure this program so that they can go out and get the help they need, hopefully before it impacts clients and patients and the citizens of Wyoming. One of the issues it does not currently cover, at least arguably, is our other mental health or behavioral health issues. And, for example, the example used in committee was a depression issue. And you may have a professional out there that's suffering from major depression issues. It's impacting their practice, and it's drawn to the attention of the professional licensing board. Currently, the professional assistance program is not structured in a way that you can go get treatment or referral through the program for those kinds of problems. So this bill simply expands the programs to allow for that additional coverage. Again, it's really meant to protect the people of Wyoming and to ensure that those providing professional services in the state have access to treatment before there are problems caused. So that's a pretty quick rundown of the bill, but I'd be happy to take any questions that anybody may have.
Is there any other discussion on the bill? Are you ready for the question? Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Berger's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill 96 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say no. House Bill 96 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 71.
House Bill 71 is introduced by Representative Stebson. An act relating to capital leasing by school districts, clarifying leasing authority by school districts, modifying school facility commission approval for the lease of equipment, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Speaker, your Committee Number 4, Education, whom is referred to as House Bill 71, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. There were 9 ayes and signed by Representative Teeters, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Teeters?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill 71 do pass. There are no standing committee amendments, and I will turn the bill over to the sponsor.
Representative Stubson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. House Bill 71, leasing of equipment, really found its genesis last fall, right before our general session, when the Attorney General issued an opinion that addressed leasing of equipment, capital leasing by school districts. And just as a quick overview, there are a number of districts across the state that utilize this as a financing mechanism on large pieces of equipment, whether it be buses or copiers or computers. They may enter into a lease financing option where they don't have to pay all the money, especially on buses, because the way buses work is once the district acquires the bus, then they have to follow up with a reimbursement from the state for those costs. And so as a cash flow management tool, as they often use this sort of capital leasing approach where they lease that equipment over time. The Attorney General's opinion came out and said really the way Wyoming statutes are currently drafted, you have to go through a pretty laborious process before the School Facilities Commission in order to get permission to do any capital leasing whatsoever. And the process is so cumbersome that, in fact, since it has been instituted, there has never been a school district that has actually utilized it. But the Attorney General said that's the only way you can enter into these capital leasing transactions. And so we have districts across the state regularly engaging in these transactions that the Attorney General has said are inappropriate. The problem that really creates is when districts go out to do these sorts of transactions, that has limited the number of companies that are willing to come in and enter the transactions, and really the negotiating power of school districts. My own home district was looking at some of these transactions, and there were at least two companies that refused to talk to him about the transactions because of the doubt cast by the Attorney General's opinion. So this is really to legitimize a practice that regularly occurs across the state, to give a tool to school districts, a cash management tool, a financing tool, to help them in managing their finances, and to ensure that they have more competitive interactions with companies that engage in these leasing transactions. And with that, I would take any questions anybody may have on the bill.
Is there any other discussion on the bill? Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Teeter's motion, when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill 71 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say no. House Bill 71 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill is House Bill 69.
House Bill 69 from Representative Larson, an act relating to fuel tax specifying the amounts of liquefied and non-liquefied natural gas that are equivalent to gasoline and diesel fuel for taxation purposes and providing for an effective date. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 3, Revenue, to whom is referred House Bill 69, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. There were 9 ayes. Signed by Representative Madden, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Madden?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, you do so with the recommendation that House Bill Number 69 do pass. And we have the representative from House District 54 to provide a brief explanation for it.
Representative Larson.
Mr. Speaker, Mr. Chairman, I move that House Bill 69 and ask for your favorable consideration. House Bill 69 is going to address two issues regarding the collection of fuel taxes on natural gas used for motor fuels. And it does two things. And the first issue that we have is the point of taxation. Last year, House Bill 171 deleted a sentence in the definition of gasoline that said gasoline does not mean methane, ethane, butane, or liquefied gas. And as it now reads, our definition for gasoline states that gasoline means the volatile substance produced from petroleum, natural gas, oil, shell, or coal sold under the name of gasoline. With that loose definition, YDOT is left to determine that all natural gas, whether CNG, or compressed natural gas, or liquefied natural gas, is taxed under the gasoline statute. Natural gas, with this understanding, the gasoline statutes require that fuel tax for all gasoline be collected at the rack, which is a place where gasoline is loaded from a refinery or terminal onto a transport truck and is paid by the refiner. As you know, CNG is delivered via pipeline system to the point of, at the retailer where it is compressed for dispensing into a vehicle, and most LNG is liquefied at a liquefying plant, which can also be at the retail point of dispensing. This bill would clean up this issue by making the dispensers the point of taxation for CNG and LNG, which is written in the last sentence of the bill. The bigger question is, how do we tax it? Using LNG as an example in the place of diesel fuel, you have to remember that diesel fuel has more energy measured in BTUs than a gallon of LNG.
It takes 1.7 times more LNG to deliver the same BTUs as a gallon of diesel fuel. So if you're taxing LNG gallon for gallon, the same as you do diesel, the consumer would pay 170% more fuel tax on the LNG. This becomes a big concern for operators of commercial vehicles when deciding which fuel to use in their fleet. So when we looked at the taxation issue, which involved the natural gas vehicles people, the fuel gas distributors, and the Department of Transportation's fuel tax division, we had to determine an equitable way to tax natural gas and also establish a unit of measurement that was acceptable and easy to work with. We verified that the Internal Revenue Service and the Department of Energy accepts that a gallon of gasoline has a value of 114,100 BTUs, and the Department of Energy and National Council on Weights and Measures accepts the gas gallon equivalent for CNG in two units of measurements, one being a volume measured in cubic feet and the other in weights measured in pounds. CNG being a gas gallon equivalent, currently CNG dispensers can measure CNG in either volume, the cubic feet, or the weight. A gallon of diesel fuel has an energy value of 128,700 BTUs, and LNG is usually used to dispense diesel. And LNG is only measured in weight as it is a liquid. And to get diesel gallon equivalent, they use weight, which is 6.06 pounds of LNG, to make an equivalent of diesel gallon equivalent. This unit of measurement is in the process of being adopted by the National Council of Weights and Measures and is accepted in other states as the standard. Current LNG dispensers measure LNG in pounds. So there's our bill. We recommend the use of these gas gallon equivalents for CNG and the diesel gallon equivalents for LNG. This gives the Fuel Tax Division a clear statute to govern with, and it is an equitable tax based on energy equivalence that allows the transportation industry an option of using natural gas without being assessed an unfair tax rate. And finally, it helps to establish uniform units of measurement and taxation for natural gas as a motor vehicle fuel across state lines for interstate transportation business. So, if Mr. Chairman, with that, I'd take any questions or move the bill to pass.
Is there any other discussion on the bill? Are you ready for the question? Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Madden's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill 69 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say no. House Bill 69 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 33.
House Bill 33, as introduced by the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to juries, updating, amending, conforming, and repealing provisions relating to selection of jurors, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 1, Judiciary, to whom is referred House Bill 33, reports back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. There were 9 aye votes, and it was signed by Representative Gingrich, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. Chairman Gingrich, what is your pleasure?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that House Bill 33 do pass, and I further move the adoption of the Standing Committee Amendment. And if you just look at the Standing Committee Amendment real quick, it was just fixing, we have district court where we should have circuit court, and we were flipping a few things around, and then we changed when it went into effect and what it would do to impaneling juries. So nothing real earth-shattering in the Standing Committee Amendment. And unless anyone has any questions, we could call the question on the Standing Committee Amendment.
Question being called on the committee. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Committee carries. Back on the bill. Chairman,
Mr. Chairman, Gingrich. If I could turn it over to the good gentleman from Casper to explain it.
Chairman Walters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Walters, I'm right.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This bill is really just a cleanup bill. If you look through it, to impanel a jury, historically, it would say we were going to use boxes and put names in boxes and pull names out of boxes. We don't do that anymore. Technology has came so far in the great state of Wyoming that we now use a computer and a randomized system through a computer. The other thing this bill does is it gets the courts talking to one another, so the chances of you serving on two separate juries within a short period should be decreased. So like I said, it's just a simple cleanup bill, and I would urge your support. Thank you.
Is there any other discussion on the bill? Yes, Representative Croker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. During introduction, I had objected to this bill based on the concept that I believed the judiciary was asking us to change a law to fit what they were doing. Since that objection came up in our committee, we found a different statute in a different title that actually gave them authority to change how they were doing jury pool selection. So it turned out we kind of had two laws on the books with contradicting authority. So I want to make it clear that I withdraw that objection because they did have the authority to do this, and this is just kind of conforming those two laws into one.
Is there any other discussion on the bill? Are we ready for a question being called? All those in favor of Chairman Gingrey's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill number 33 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say no. House Bill 33 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 35.
House Bill 35, as submitted by the Minerals Committee, an act relating to the legislature establishing the select committee of the transfer of public land as specified, providing a definition, providing a sunset date, providing an appropriation, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, to whom was referred House Bill 35, reports back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with following amendments. There were 9 aye votes, signed by Representative Lockhart, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. Chairman Lockhart, what is your pleasure?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Bill number 35 do pass, and I further move the adoption of the Standing Committee Amendment number 1. And I'd like to urge your support of the Standing Committee and vote on it before I turn the explanation of the bill together. It had a larger group to look at these issues. We shrunk it down from essentially 5 to 3, we reduced the number, and in that reduction in the number, we just went from 3 to 2, 5 to 3, 3 to 2, 3 to, I'm going to confuse this thing up. Anyway, we reduced the number of people that will be on the committee. So with that, I'd like to ask the good representative from the sister city of Riverton called Lander and to have him explain the bill.
Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Folks, if you remember last year with the passing of House Bill 228, we created a task force to study the transfer of federal public lands in the state to the state. This task force held 2 meetings to gather information on topics of transferring federal public lands to the state and then reported their findings as required back to the Joint Minerals Committee, the Joint Ag Committee, and the Select Federal Natural Resource Management Committee. In their meetings, they heard testimony on the history of state and federal public lands in Wyoming, the efforts of other states concerning the transfer of federal public lands, legal issues surrounding the topic, challenges related to mineral development and agricultural activities on federal public lands, costs and revenues related to the management of state lands, compared costs and revenues from the management of federal lands. As a result of the information gathered, the task force is convinced that this topic is an extremely important one to pursue for the future of Wyoming, and failure to act could have some significant consequences both on Wyoming's economy and its environment. The purpose of this bill is to establish a select committee on the transfer of public lands. It would define the powers and the duties of this committee, establish the makeup of the committee, members, and provide an appropriations. We'd encourage your adoption of this or moving of this bill.
Is Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And the fine chairman of Minerals discussed the Standing Committee Amendment, and I'll call for the vote on that right now.
You've heard the motion on the Standing Committee Amendment. All in favor of the amendment, please say aye. Those opposed, no. The amendment carries. Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This bill comes out of your task force on public lands that passed last year. There were 4 members on that task force, 2 from the House, 2 from the Senate. We met a couple of times, full-day meetings, had great discussions. We also went, some of us went to a meeting in Park City, Utah, where I believe about 13 other states went to. The representative from Almost Idaho also went to that meeting and has grabbed the bull by the horns on this issue. And she just passed around a little brochure on this issue to help you further define. That same fine representative also took this information to a national committee and got this passed as a national resolution at that committee. So this thing is getting some steam. It takes a coordinated effort from multiple Western states to make sure this is going to happen. Our state, Wyoming, cannot do it alone. Utah can't do it alone. But all the states together are going to make some headway in this. There's all kinds of issues that have to be addressed. That's why we want to continue with the select committee. The key with the discussions as they go forward is all valid existing rights have to be recognized and managed somehow. That's going to be very complicated. It's going to take a lot of work, a lot of experts involved, and I encourage your support for this bill.
Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If you look at the handout, you'll see what's come to be called the federal fault line. East of Colorado, less than 5% of the land is owned by the federal government. West of Colorado, over 50%, close to 90% in the state that has Sin City in it alone. This is a... We've got a new nickname for PILT. It's called Pennies in Lieu of Trillions. We could be making trillions of dollars, the states west of Colorado and west, in managing our own resources. Instead, all of this land is being managed for conservation, not development, and we think it's crucial that we take these steps as a group of states, and we want Wyoming to be a part of this group, to approach the federal government and have them honor the contract that they made with Wyoming when we became a state. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Is there any other discussion on the bill? Representative Miller.
Mr. Chairman, just another brief background. You know, Wyoming became a state in 1890. This was part of the process. It was in our enactment clause that, you know, the title to the land was cleared and in the federal government's name, and then at some point in the future, the lands would get disposed of. In 1932, Congress had 8 days of hearings. They produced a booklet about that thick, you know, of those 8 days of hearings on this very issue. We had a change of administration at the end of 32, and then in 1934, the Taylor Grazing Act came out, and in the Taylor Grazing Act, it says pending final disposal of the public lands, and the public lands were managed for multiple use up and through about 1976 when FLTMA came out. FLTMA basically said we're going to keep the public lands, but this is how they're going to be managed. They're going to be managed for multiple use. You're going to get PILT payments. You Western states, you're all going to be just fine. Nothing's going to change. But as we see, as time goes on, things get more and more restrictive on our public lands. They're taking more and more of our rights to access these public lands away. And that's why we're pushing back with this study, and that's why we need to cooperate with all these other Western states and see where this ends up. It's not a one-year effort. It probably isn't even a five-year effort, but it's an effort that needs to be done.
Question being called. All those in favor of Representative Lockhart's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill 35 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. House Bill 35 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 53.
House Bill 53 is introduced by Dave Zwanzer, an act relating to the Wyoming Lottery Corporation, defining the term vendor for purposes of disposition and proceeds and providing for an effective date. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 3, Revenue, to whom is referred House Bill 53, reports back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. There were 9 aye votes, signed by Representative Madden, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Madden?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill number 53 do pass. And I would turn it over to the gentleman from District 9 to provide a simple explanation.
Chairman Swanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ladies and gentlemen, you'll probably remember last session we passed the lottery bill, and just as a refresher course, the proceeds are supposed to be distributed, the first $6 million to cities and counties, and then everything after that was going to the common school account. Well, in the distribution formula, we just said that they were going to vendors. And so this bill is to clarify what we meant by vendors. We had quite a little go-around, and after we had gone around the tree about 600 times, we've ended up just leaving the bill as it is originally introduced. So just be aware, the way it's introduced at the moment is that the money will go into a pot, and then it will be distributed like we distribute sales tax. And we distribute sales tax by the total number of vendors in the county and how much sales tax money they brought in. So with that, I would stand for any questions and hopefully ask for your favorable vote.
Is there any other discussion on the bill? Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Madden's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill number 53 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. House Bill 53 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 54.
House Bill 54, as presented by Representative Dave Zwanitzer, an act relating to the Wyoming Lottery Corporation, amending limitation on purchase of tickets by board members and others as specified and providing for an effective date. Mr. Speaker, to Committee Number 3, Revenue, who was referred House Bill 54, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. There were 9 ayes, and it is signed by Representative Madden, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Madden?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Bill number 54 do pass. And again, the gentleman from District 9 will provide an explanation.
Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ladies and gentlemen, this bill was brought at the request of the Lottery Board, and they wanted a clarification. And the clarification, what we have in here, and for sure, we do not want our Lottery Board members purchasing tickets to the Wyoming Lottery. And so that is what this clarifies in the bill. But by doing that, it also allows them to buy lottery tickets if they are out on vacation. So if they're on the East Coast, West Coast, down to the Sunshine State or wherever, I believe that this will allow them to buy tickets from out of state. And that is the policy decision that they ask that I bring in front of you. And so if you vote aye on this particular bill as it stands at the moment, that will allow them to buy lottery tickets outside of Wyoming. And, of course, the no would be the opposite. And I stand for any questions.
Is there any other discussion on the bill? Yes. Representative Goggles.
I do have a question, Mr. Chairman. For the bringer of the bill, as I understand the language here, the game they call Powerball. Powerball's in multiple states. And Wyoming will become part of that Powerball lotto. So the language is that a board member in Wyoming cannot purchase a lotto ticket for the Powerball in Wyoming. But if he goes to Florida or some other state that has the Powerball, he can purchase his ticket. Is that correct?
Is there any other discussion? Are we ready for the question? Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I thought we had another comment coming up. Yes, that's exactly what that does. They cannot purchase it from one of the vendors that they are managing. that's under their umbrella. But yes, they can go to a different state and purchase whatever. And we don't know at this point exactly which games the Lottery Corporation is going to bring in front of us, because there's several of them to choose from. But we're assuming that particular game would probably be one of them.
Is there any other discussion? Are we ready for the question? Question being called. All those in favor of Representative Madden's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that House Bill 54 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. House Bill 54 has passed Committee of the Whole. Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Privilege of the floor.
Yes, indeed.
Brothers and sisters of the 60s, I think 10 years of being here, I think this is the first time I've spoken from this podium. I kind of like it. The hard deadline for second reading budget amendments is 5 p.m. today, which would be 21 minutes from now. So if you have any budget amendments, you need to get them into LSO by 5 p.m. today.
The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 43. First reading of the bill.
House Bill number 43 is introduced by Representative Gingrey. An act relating to children in need of supervision, increasing the age limit for purposes of children in need of supervision provisions, amending applicability of court orders, amending a definition and providing for an effective date. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 1, Judiciary, to whom is referred House Bill 43, reports back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. There were 9 aye votes, signed by Representative Gingrey, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. Chairman Gingrey, what is your pleasure?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that House Bill 43 pass. And what this bill had to do with was there was a case out of Natrona County this year. Everyone had always sort of operated under the idea that you could go ahead and have CHINS services provided throughout the 17th year. But when you actually read the statute, it actually was supposed to stop at 17. And what this does, it moves it up to 18. Just to remind everyone, so you have 3 different types. You have juvenile delinquents, which is kids that commit crimes. You have abused and neglect children. And then you have what's called CHINS. CHINS is child in need of supervision. These are kids that have not committed a crime nor have been abused, but they enter into the juvenile court system, and we provide services to them. And so this allows for those services to continue to be provided during their 17th year. Otherwise, there would be a gap between the age of 17 and them reaching adulthood.
Is there any other discussion on the bill? Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Gingrey's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that House Bill number 43 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say no. House Bill 43 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 91. Reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 91, as introduced by Representative Stevenson, an act relating to banks and restricted transactions, repealing loan-to-value and duration restrictions on real estate loans by banks, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, to who is referred House Bill 91, reports back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. There were 8 aye votes, 1 no vote, signed by Representative Lockhart, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Lockhart?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Bill number 91 do pass, and I'd like to turn the explanation over of the bill to a neighbor of mine in Casper, Wyoming, to explain.
Representative Stubson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The bill before you is really a regulatory relief bill for a very highly regulated industry. If you are a bank operating in the state of Wyoming, you operate under restrictions imposed by the Comptroller of Currency, the Federal Reserve Bank, the FDIC, but you also operate under certain statutory restrictions, some of which conflict with those other regulatory requirements and are inconsistent with those other regulatory requirements. So what this bill does is it simply eliminates some of those duplicative and contradictory provisions in Wyoming statutes. Particularly in 13.3401, the provisions that are being stricken deal with loan-to-value ratio. Specifically talking about real estate loans. So under Wyoming statute, if you make a real estate loan, the value of the collateral must be the value of the loan may not exceed 90% of the value of the collateral. There are some exceptions contained in the statute. One of them is if you're from 90 to 95%, that's okay as long as you have mortgage insurance on that extra value. One of the problems is, for example, the FDIC imposes its own loan-to-value ratio restrictions, and all of which differ from the 90%. For example, if we're talking about multifamily homes, 90% is the amount in our statute. 85% is the loan-to-value ratio imposed by the FDIC. So what this does, it just eliminates this state provision, allows the other loan-to-value ratios to govern, and really puts state chartered banks on an equal footing and under equal regulation with nationally chartered banks. And of course, in most of our communities, state chartered banks are our banks. These are the community banks. One of the sort of unintended consequences of the statute as it currently reads is it actually can undermine safety and soundness requirements. Here's the example that was given in committee. If you have a good customer that comes in, wants a $100,000 loan, you're going to give them that loan anyway, unsecured, but they offer you additional collateral. Maybe it's real estate that's valued at $30,000. You, under the statute, aren't allowed to take that additional collateral, even though it would make your loan safer. And you can't do it because of the language in this statute. So that's some of the kind of unintended, not very common sense consequences that result from the statute as we have it right now. The provisions that we're taking out were put in the savings and loan crisis of the early 1980s. The banking industry has changed in the 30 years since. This brings our statutes up to date, and I would ask for your aye vote.
Is there any other discussion on the bill? Are we ready for the question? Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Lockhart's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, you do so with the recommendation that House Bill 91 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say no. House Bill 91 has passed Committee of the Whole. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 175. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill number 175 is introduced by Representative Brown, an act relating to non-testamentary transfer on death of real property, amending and clarifying manner of proving death and transfer of ownership, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Speaker, Committee number 1 Judiciary, to whom is referred House Bill 175, reports back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. There were 8 ayes and 1 excuse, signed by Representative Gingrich, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Gingrich?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill 175 do pass, and I further move the adoption of the Standing Committee Amendment. And all the Standing Committee Amendment did was we had the word filing, and the proper word was probably more like recording. So unless anyone has anything on the Standing Committee Amendment, I would call the question on the Standing Committee Amendment.
Question being called on the Standing Committee Amendment. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Standing Committee Amendment carries. Please.
I turn it over to the Majority Floor Leader to explain the bill.
Any further discussion on the bill?
Yeah, me.
Representative Brown.
Mr. Chairman. Transfer on death deed makes a matter of record that when an individual dies, a designated beneficiary will take the property. There's been some concern about liens from the state of Wyoming for Medicaid being realized on those properties. This bill says that before the transfer of property pursuant to a transfer on death deed can take place, The recipient of the property must file an affidavit, and attached to that affidavit must be a certificate of clearance from the Department of Health that says either they don't assert a lien on the property or the lien's been satisfied. Until that happens, ownership doesn't change, and it preserves for the Department of Health the right to collect the amounts that were advanced on Medicaid and are maybe a lien on the individual's property. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I'll stand for any questions.
Is there any other discussion on the bill? Are we ready for the question? Question being called. All those in favor of Representative Gingery's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill 175 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. House Bill 175 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 173.
House Bill 173 is introduced by Representative Throne, an act relating to schools authorizing the administration and storage of medication required for potentially life-threatening conditions, imposing requirements, providing guidelines, delegating duties to the Department of Education and Department of Health, providing exceptions to liability, providing definitions and providing for an effective date. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom we referred House Bill 173, reports back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with following amendments. There were 9 aye votes, signed by Representative Green, Vice Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Harvey?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill Number 173 do pass, and I further move the adoption of the Standing Committee Amendment. And I will turn the explanation of the bill and the amendment over to the good representative from our capital city.
Representative Throne.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This bill is moving through faster than an allergic reaction. Sorry. Okay, so that confirmed that everybody's still awake. We just had this bill on introduction on Friday, and I'll try to go into a little more detail today. Essentially, this bill allows school districts, but does not mandate school districts, to adopt policies that would allow them to stock EpiPens. And in a lot of circumstances, kids' allergies are identified by the time they get to elementary school, but not in all circumstances. For instance, in a bee sting, if a child gets a bee sting on the playground and has a severe allergic reaction, they could die. And that's essentially how this bill started across the country. I believe it was in Virginia. Maybe it was a wasp sting, not a bee sting. But the bill provides substantial protections. It requires the development of guidelines to be included in the school district's policies. School districts could tailor their policies to their own needs, and then it provides good Samaritan liability or limitations on liability. And I just realized that I haven't explained the Committee of the Whole amendment. Did you move the amendment? Standing Committee amendment. The Standing Committee amendment cleans up the reporting requirements. The school nurses had a concern about a reporting requirement to WDE. Our WDE is not that involved with school nurses, so there really wasn't a need for a reporting requirement to them. And then the second change is to take the school nurses out of a certification role and just having the school districts confirm that appropriate training has been provided. And I believe that is the entire standing committee amendment.
You've heard.
If there are no questions on that, I guess I'd call for the question.
You've heard the motion on the standing committee amendment, and the question has been called. All those in favor of the amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Standing committee amendment carries. Back on the bill. Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Harvey's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, you do so with the recommendation that House Bill 173 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say no. House Bill 173 has passed Committee of the Whole. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Chairman, I move the Committee of the Whole rise and report.
You've heard the motion. You've heard the motion. What is your pleasure? All those in favor of the motion that we rise and report, please say aye.
Aye.
Those who oppose, no.
No.
Let's carry on then. Motion carries.
Reading clerk will read the Committee of the Whole report.
Mr. Speaker, the Committee of the Whole, having had under consideration bills on general file, they deliver report as follows. House Joint Resolution 1, recommended do pass. House Bill 47, amended as follows, recommended do pass. House Bill 147, recommended do pass. House Bill 96, recommended do pass. House Bill 71, recommended do pass. House Bill 69, recommended do pass. House Bill 33, amended, recommended do pass. House Bill 35, amended, recommended do pass. House Bill 53, recommended do pass. House Bill 54, recommended do pass. House Bill 43, recommended do pass. House Bill 91, recommended do pass. House Bill 175, amended, recommended do pass. House Bill 173, amended, recommended do pass. Signed by Representative Gay, Chairman.
Representative Gay.
Mr. Speaker, I move adoption of the Committee of the Whole report.
You've heard the motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Committee of the Whole report has been adopted. Congratulations, Representative Gay. Very nice job. That order of business, Representative Hunt.
Mr. Speaker, privilege of the floor.
Certainly.
Folks, up behind you in the galleries is a very good friend of mine from high school. She and I were in the same class of class of 2007 from Newcastle High School. Is Miss Wyoming Becky Podio.
Welcome to the House. With that order of business of standing committee reports.
Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 1, Judiciary, to whom is referred House Bill 155, Electronic Citation Fees, reports back to the House with due pass with the following amendments. There were seven ayes and, those who voted aye. Representative Baker, Conley, Gingrey, Halverson, Crone, Miller, and Watt. Those who voted no, Representatives Croker and Walters, signed by Representative Gingrey, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 5, Agriculture, State, and Public Lands and Water Resources, to whom is referred House Bill 178, Computer Trespass, respectfully report same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Blake, Campbell, Eklund, Greer, Hunt, McKim, Simlick, Winters, and Dan Zwanitzer, signed by Representative Simlick, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom is referred House Bill 101, Elections, Vote Centers, and Electronic Poll Books, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with the following amendment. Those who voted aye, Representatives Berger, Byrd, Gay, Green, Kirkbride, Mader, Paxton, Petroff, and Dan Zwanitzer, signed by Representative Berger, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom is referred House Bill 146, Study of State Human Resource Positions, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Berger, Byrd, Gay, Green, Kirkbride, Mader, Paxton, Petroff, and Dan Zwanitzer, signed by Representative Berger, Chairman.
We're at that order of business of re-referral of bills. Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 10 would like to re-refer House Bill 99 to your committee number 2, Appropriations.
Without objection, it is so ordered. Chairman Berger, Madam Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 7 would like to re-refer House Bill 101 to your committee Appropriations number 2.
We're at that order of business of committee announcements. Madam Speaker Pro Tem.
Again, Mr. Speaker, your committee corporations. Number 7 will meet tomorrow afternoon upon afternoon recess to hear House Bills 88, House Bill 159, House Bill 106, and House Bill 137.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, will meet tomorrow morning at 7:30. I've got the time right this time to consider about 6 bills, and I'll just give you the number. House Bill 27, House Bill 44, House Bill 78, House Bill 164, House Bill 64, House Bill 177, and House Bill 74, and 3 others if time allows.
Vice Chairman Harvey. Chairman Harvey, I'm sorry.
I didn't think I'd been so bad to get a demotion. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, will meet Wednesday, February 19th, 10 minutes after adjournment. Please note the change in room 302, to consider the following bills. House Bill 95, Diabetes Care Planning. House Bill 143, Health Information Study, and House Bill 169, Medicaid Waiver Programs Case Management System.
Vice Chairman Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Your committee number 6, Travel, will meet tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock to consider two bills, House Bill 163, Game and Fish Restitution Values, and House Bill 157, Tourism Promotion.
Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 8, Transportation, Highway, and Military Affairs, will meet in about 10 minutes after adjournment. And here's a roadmap, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to go 80 miles an hour up to the Moose Wilson Roadway, have a little game kill, and then we're going to bring a couple tours in. These are House Bill number 12, House Joint Resolution number 5, House Bill 165, House Bill 29, and House Bill 116.
Mr. Majority Whip.
Can I have a quick privilege of the floor, Mr. Chair?
Certainly.
Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, just a reminder, tomorrow morning the Capitol Commission Bible Study will be over in the bottom of the Hersler, and just by the look of your inbox and the number of pink sheets you have there, you may think about it. We're all going to need a little extra help tomorrow.
Rules Committee, Committee 12, will meet upon adjournment in room 302 to discuss House Bill 37, Revisor's Bill, House Bill 36, Constituent Service Allowance, House Bill 89, Constituent Allowance, Large Legislative District, House Bill 62, General Procedures for Licensing Board, House Bill 123, Unified Administrative Code and Database, and any proposed rule changes. Representative Blake. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Ladies and gentlemen, don't forget, if you're on the Rules Committee, we're going to convene in room 302 immediately. Mr. Speaker, I move the House adjourn and sit again at 9:30 a.m. tomorrow morning.
You've heard the motion. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? House is adjourned until tomorrow, February 19th, 2014, at 9:30 a.m.